Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. We're here live tonight. Welcome to the place where we do it, we're going to talk about it. Welcome tonight. We're going to be downloading a little bit more about the Beast. Brand new for me. Shocking to me. I don't know if it will be for you. I don't know where it's going to hit you. Hit you exactly, but about an hour, 2 hours ago, download big time. So I want to share it with you, give it out to you guys. I let everyone on our text group know that we're going to do it tonight. I don't normally send text groups out, as you know. I only do it when I'm going to talk about things like this that I think people might be interested in. So get ready for that tonight. I'm going to try to prepare the way for it if I can. It's just very interesting how God is all of a sudden downloading all this information about this, which kind of tells me something's up. You know, I think it's personally, I think it's up in a good way. Some people wouldn't think it's up in a good way. They think it's, oh no, what are we going to do now? And that's usually because that's the way they've been trained. They've been taught the wrong teachings about this time. They're not looking forward to it. They're dreading it, hoping that they will not be here for it. Who could blame them after what they've been taught? Right. So that's kind of what's going on. Anyway, good to be here tonight. We're going to be prophesying over you tonight. We're going to be praying for you, believing God with you, to open you up to whatever God wants us to open up to. And hopefully you can be receptive to what the Holy Spirit's saying and be able to discern whether it's Him, right? Yeah, that's what we want to do. So, okay, we're going to give it a chance for people to kind of get on tonight before I take off with this, but got some things here too. Okay. All right. So we have video if you like video. I can't wait to get back into a studio where we can actually do the things right. I just kind of decided I'm not going to try to get too carried away with doing what we're doing now because I don't want to get content at all. So y'all pray for me as we deal with that, with the studio and all those things that are going on. The studio is really a place where we, we actually, it's the hub, if you will. It's the hub of our communication. It's the hub of where we're going to be communicating from, bringing people in from all over the place. Because I believe God is shaping up and forming a whole new crew of believers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I think that as they see what God is speaking and God starts to reveal things and they see that it's God, they're going to go, yep, that's God. And they're going to jump in there and be a part of it. So we're going to be gathering them together, if you will. To have our shows, to have shows there in the studio of people of all kinds, from all walks of life and in the prophetic realm, at the apostolic realm, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I just saw this recently, and before I share about the Antichrist and the Beast revelation I got today, I want to talk about that just for a moment until people get on. And the studio is a place where we're going, of course, to live video, live internet radio, and have all that going on all at the same time, interviewing people, other people interviewing people, not just me, but other people doing things, people coming in from, all over the place, hopefully all over the globe, that have caught on to what God's doing, and they are walking in the realm of revelation that somewhat what we're walking in. Because there's a lot of diversion out there right now. People trying to get people all these different directions, As you can probably guess, the enemy is the head of confusion. Confusion gets people to looking off in all these different directions, so he divides us. It may even be something that looks good, maybe a nice doctrine, a nice belief system, some something or another, get us divided politically and not seeing that the kingdom of God wants to rule through the church as we prepare the way for Christ to come rule us and the world in Jerusalem, in Israel. That's all going to happen soon. We enter into the millennium. It's just kind of hard to talk about that. I don't know what y'all, but this is new stuff for me, talking about the millennium and, you know, like everything we do now, you don't have to worry about, you know, do I just stop trying to purchase a house and purchase a building for a ministry? Do I stop believing God for a family? Do I stop believing God for all these things? Well, if you're doing it the right way, it's all good. It'll go right with you through the tribulation and to the millennium. That's the purpose of it, because if it's wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to be burned up, right? He said if you add anything to your foundation, the foundation of your own personal calling, you know, and whatever, it's going to get burned up in the fire. So, but if it's not, guess what? That house you're buying, that home you're buying, if you're doing it in Jesus and it's motivated by him and, you know, brought forth by him, then guess what? It's going to be kept. It's like precious stones, like gold and silver. And precious stones. They're not going to be burned up in the fire. The fire of what? The fire of tribulation, the fire of, you know, passing through, you know, as God comes in eventually and destroys everything that's not of him. He's going to eventually going to do that by his fire, by different rails. He's going to destroy everything that's not of him. He's going to do it by fire. Somehow or another, I don't know exactly how it's going to happen, but it's going to destroy everything by fire. That's what it says. I read that scripture to you, I think, last week. So as you understand, you start seeing that, yeah, we do. If we realize Jesus is coming soon, you know, in the next 10 years or so, then we begin, you know, even more wholeheartedly to say, okay, God, is what I'm doing of you? Show me, reveal to me, because we need to know that. It's a good question. It's a good thing to ask. And we all need to ask it, every one of us. And so as we're doing that, there's going to be doctrines that are going to be burned up in fire too. Doctrines that are, you know, I don't want to start naming a bunch of doctrines, but I'm talking about other religions, you know, but other religions that don't have Christ as their foundation. The fire of God's going to burn that up, if you will. That's why troubles and tribulation is good for the earth, because it burns up and puts under pressure everything that's not of God. Right? You see what I'm saying? That's why the Bible says in the scripture, it says that we enter in through much trials, through tribulation, we enter into the kingdom of heaven. Through trials and tribulations, we enter into the kingdom. So what does that mean? That means that the things that you're doing that are not of God, you know, they're going to be burned up. And the things that you're doing that's of God, because you can have both in your life, those things will enter and be kept, because guess what? They're God. You think God's going to destroy his own stuff? No, he's going to keep it. It's going to be kept. You know, how to be kept by God. How do you be kept by God? Cover yourself up real good with your hedge of protection, your own hedge. No, that's not going to work. It's going to be by just simply doing what God wants, what God's will is. Then it's not wood, hay, and stubble, which can be burned up by the fire of struggle and trouble, of pressure from governments. Will you bow? You're going to bow down to me? You're going to bow down to God? Which one are you going to do? Because they could be thrown into the fire. Well, you know, guess what? They were thrown to the fire, and the fire did not destroy them. Friend, it's the same thing with you and I. It doesn't matter what fire it is, the great tribulation fire, or it doesn't matter what fire. When you're of God, you will not be burned up. You cannot be destroyed with the wrath of Satan or the wrath of God. You're not made for it, right? God's not going to touch you with his wrath. You're going to see it with your own eyes. Psalms 91. If you haven't read that in a while, you might go back and read it in the light of this thinking. And so, you know, in 1 Corinthians, when we talked about that scripture last week, people are starting to call in, so we're going to get ready to talk about the beast and this new revelation I got there. It's really cool. It's really cool to me. I wept when I got it. That's how strong it was for me. I wept when I got it. I don't usually weep over revelation. I usually want to jump up and run around the room, but I wept over that one for some reason. Wow, it was strong. And so I'm going to get ready to share that here in just a moment. And so So here we go. So that's what's happening. So God is trying to help us, to show us how to build things by his will, by his grace, by his word, by his Holy Spirit, that God will put a hedge of protection around your stuff to keep it from being burned up. Remember with Job? Remember when Job, Satan told Job, he said, yeah, Job praises you and gives you glory because you got that hedge around him. I tried to get in there and break through that hedge many times, and I couldn't do it. God, your hedge is pretty, your hedge works pretty good. But you take that hedge away from Job, oh, he'll be crying out. Yeah, he'll be cursing you and whatever. God says, yeah, he moved the hedge. What was the hedge? The hedge was because Job built things by the kingdom of God. Now, if God allows that hedge to be removed, then he's usually going to double or increase you. So you don't have to worry either way. If God allows your stuff to be burned up through a trial or through a tribulation, then guess what? God's going to double you. He's going to increase you. So either way, we win, right? As long as God has his hedge, what's a hedge? What's God protecting? All your stuff? No. All the stuff he has helped you get, all right, that he got for you, so to speak. It's all the things God has gotten for us, right? What he has provided, he's our provider. So he provides for you family, home, children, you know, houses, homes, ministry buildings, farms, lands, cattle, sheep, whatever you have, you know, orchards. You think God's going to destroy his own stuff? No, he's going to put a hedge around it where nobody can touch it. That's why you're not appointed to wrath, friend, because God's hedge protects you from everything, anybody's wrath. Remember in Egypt when they were protected from the wrath of the death angel? The death angel was coming through, made a special point to go through Israel. Did you notice that? Or where Israel was in Goshen. The death angel made a special point this particular time to go through all of Israel, where Israel was. So you got to think about that when it comes to the end time. God's going to have a point in time where he's going to have the death angel or will allow death to come. And if you have the hedge around you, friend, what do you have to worry about? And if God allows the hedge to be removed like he did Job, he's going to double you. Get ready for, instead of rule over one city, you're going to rule over 10. You see what I'm saying? So when you look at it, either way, you win. We win. The devil can't take it. Why? Because we built what we built in Jesus, and therefore we have a hedge of protection. We can't lose it. The enemy can't take us out. That's why it talks about hiding in him. Hiding in him means doing things his way, right, in agreement with him. And believe me, friend, he wants you to be blessed. He made all the things in the earth, the wood, you know, to build houses, the steel, the gold, the silver, the jewels. He made all that for all of us. You think he wants to destroy that? No, he wants to. He wants to have a safe place on earth when the kingdom comes for us to dwell and grow our families, grow our ministries, learn how to watch over cities. Some of you are going to be ruling over one city. Some of you are going to be ruling over five. Some over 10. Some over, you know, a nation. In the book of Revelation, it talks about that. Revelation 2, it talks about those who overcome, in some cases, are going to rule a nation. So, wow, won't that be interesting? I really believe it. I really, truly believe the Word of God is the Word of God. Right. Yeah. So, all right. So here's what I want to share with you tonight, my revelation about the scripture about the Antichrist. Hang on a second. Let me get a couple of these scriptures going on here. I had them looked up earlier, but then let me see if I still have it on my phone. Okay, yeah, here we go. All right, I want you to get your Bibles ready or your phones or your computer Bibles ready for chapter 13. And we're going to talk about, we're going to kind of go there a little bit. I think most people are familiar with the teachings and the things we've heard over the years from prophetic people. They teach about prophecy. That they talk about that, and this, they talk about how there will be a time when the Antichrist will have a head wound, right? Are you all familiar with that? He will have a head wound. That's found in Revelation 13. We're fixing to go there. There were many different leaders. There's going to be many different leaders. As you see in Scripture, you see that there's many different heads, but one of the heads was wounded, and it talks about the one who's going to be the Antichrist.
So there's many different leaders. There's going to be many different leaders. Of course, just like we're talking about the kingdom of God, we're going to have many different leaders. We're going to have people that are rule over one city. Some people are going to rule over 10, you know, eventually. Some people over a nation. It just depends. So you can see what we're talking about, many heads. Heads of what? Heads of state, heads of governments, you know, for the kingdom of God. And also the same thing, just like we have now, similar to what we have now. We have people who rule over certain nations. Why? The headman, the Antichrist, or in our situation, where Christ or the church will rule over the nations of the world, crying out to him to come and finish the job. Jesus Christ will finish the job, not us. We will prepare the way for him. That's what the John the Baptist anointing is all about. We will prepare the way for Christ, and that's our job now. And that's why we need to start thinking kingdom, because we're going to prepare the way. You can't prepare the way when you're not thinking kingdom. All right, so the Antichrist gets wounded. He has a head wound. And then let's go ahead and read it, Revelation 13. I'm going to read it to you. The beast coming out of the sea. Then I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. It had seven heads and 10 horns, and with ten crowns on its horns. In other words, you know, crowns are for rulership, kings. And written on each head were the names of blasphemes that blasphemed God. This beast looked like a leopard, but it had the feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave the beast his power and throne and great authority. And here we go. Watch it. And I saw that one of the heads of the beast seemed wounded beyond recovery. One of the heads of the beast seemed wounded beyond recovery, but fatal wound was healed. The whole world marveled at this miracle and gave allegiance to the beast. They worshiped the dragon for giving the beast such power, and they also worshiped the beast, who is great as the beast. They exclaimed, who is able to fight against him? Because all of a sudden he became really authoritative and powerful. All right, so today I was just, I've been looking at the picture of the man who is the Antichrist. I know who he is. I have him, his picture on different devices that I have. And I was looking at him one day, and I think last week, and you know, I just realized that the same facial structure this guy has, he's right now, he's just a regular human being, facial structure, the eyes, the face, the hair, the countenance. And I've seen this picture I've looked at this picture off and on for several years now, you know. So, but last week, in the last 7 days or so, I looked at it again, and I realized, because when I had a vision of Satan, when he was getting ready to unveil the Antichrist, I saw him. He showed up kind of at in a house, outside the house I was in, and he walked up to the, like, looked like a kitchen window, so to speak, and because it was a higher window, and he looked in into that window, and I saw his face. I didn't see his eyes, but I saw his structure of his face, his cheekbone, his head, just the way he his appearance. He looked like a prince. A prince of evil, of course. And so when I saw that was back in 2000, I think, 2004, 2005, 2006, somewhere in there. I had to look at it. But very revelatory and very amazing. And so in that dream, God showed me, you know, that a lot of things. So I've never seen Satan himself in my life. So that was the first time I saw him. So when I looked at the picture of this guy, I realized it scared me almost. I mean, it just put fear on me. I go, oh my gosh, this is what the devil looked like. I mean, he just, when you look at him, when I looked at him for all these years, the picture I've got that I've looked at, you know, many times, he's just a regular guy who looks kind of, you know, looks like he's 35, 40, something like that back then. And so, you know, he's just a regular person, right? And when I saw his face again a few days ago, I just realized all of a sudden what emanated off of his face, presence, of that face that I saw, that person that walked up to that window and looked in there, which I knew was Satan himself. Friend, that put something on me. That I went, oh my gosh, this is really wild, because I've seen that picture many times and never thought it looked like. Never saw what it looked like, and never identified it as Satan. So that's not really what I'm talking about tonight, but I'm trying to prepare you for something. And so all that together, and having the revelation about that, and God giving me the name Joseph Biden back in 2008, when God, anytime God downloads a name for me supernaturally, that name goes into me, into a sense where I go into the name of the person, and I start getting downloads on that person's purpose. So so that's how I began to understand Joseph Biden and his purpose, and that's why God shows me his purpose even now. And things that are going on that we're going to reveal and unfold all of it as God gives it. So all that together, friend, I'm trying to put this in a nutshell version. All that together, I'm thinking about that today. And the DNA issue, which we have now proclaimed, God showed me the word code, C-O-D-E, as most of you know. And when I saw the word code, God showed it to me. I saw within the word, I just saw in it, or I went into it or something. I don't know how to explain how it happens to me. And I saw the Antichrist, I saw the mark of the beast, and I saw code, genetic code. That's when God revealed to me, never heard anybody talk about it in Christ. I lie not. I speak the truth before God. Never heard anybody talk about that. Never heard anybody say that ever in my life. All of a sudden, I realized that what they're going to do with the DNA, which they've been experimenting on for years, and the Antichrist guy, his grandfather was a biologist and studied all this stuff and was big time into it. So I wouldn't be surprised if they have a patent on this DNA thing. I wouldn't be surprised at all. I don't know that. I'm guessing about that, but that's what I'm – something like that. Maybe not a patent, whatever it would be, that they began because they had the money to unfold this thing and do the research, which takes millions of dollars and a lot of time and a lot of people. So they have done – what they're doing is they're going to change our DNA through some process that they go through. They're going to edit our DNA to protect us from sickness, to protect us from disease, to protect us from all kinds of things. They're going to try to be our source and our God, because God is the one who protects us, right? He's the one who heals us. God's medical plan for the kingdom of God is for free also. Jesus heals people for free. I mean, he didn't charge, give me $50 and I'll heal your body. He heals it. He went around healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He delivered them, healed them, all manner of sickness and disease for free. And also God gave us an immune system, which is one of the government's plan from God, the government plan from God when he made our body, that our immune system is free medical, but we have to take care of it and nurture it. So what they're going to do, they're going to come up with their own DNA and change our DNA. 666 is a code. God spoke the word code to me. It is a code. 666 means what they're going to do with our DNA, the image of man. They're going to change the image of man. We're not going to look necessarily different physically, but we're going to be different on the inside because of what they do with our DNA. All right? So get ready, because I'm going to download this. And when I saw this today, it was rather shocking. Oh, wow. God help me. So the Antichrist is going to have, his family has made a covenant with Satan many years ago. I don't know when. I just know that's what the Lord spoke to me, that their family made a covenant. They were big, well-known people at the time, and they made a covenant with Satan, and they're Jewish, and, as far as in their, like they're Jews. And so So the Antichrist is a Jew. Believe that or not, friend. He's a Jew who doesn't believe in his father's. He totally departs from what his father's taught. You know, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He totally does his own thing. And but here's the thing. Have you ever wondered how Satan or why Satan was able to enter into the Antichrist and why he did it and how it happened? What opened the door for Satan to be able to embody this man, a human being? You know what it is? Because when he has this wound, this head wound, like I don't know if he's going to have an aneurysm. I don't know if he's going to have some brain damage. I don't know if something's going to go on with his mind. I don't know, but he obviously has some type of a wound that is deadly and basically kills him. And they're going to, because it's in the family line, his grandfather was a biologist, and they know all about the DNA realm, they are going to do the DNA thing to him and totally change his DNA, where he is going to be the first person, the first fruits, like Christ was the first fruits of the Father. He is going to be the first fruits of this total blood transformation in his DNA to 666. He will be the first one. And when it is done, as soon as his DNA becomes that of 666, or the code, or the DNA of man making man in his own image, image meaning your DNA is what creates your image, you know, what you look like, what you are on the inside, how you think, that's your image. So they're changing the image. And once he does this and he resurrects from the dead, basically, it's going to be a miracle. I saw that one of the heads of the beast, Revelation 13, seemed wounded beyond recovery, but the fatal wound was healed. The whole world marveled at this miracle and gave allegiance to the beast. Why? What happened? What was the transition where Satan actually enters into him and embodies him? It's when he gets the blood DNA transformation. And once he does that, he cannot be redeemed. He is totally sold out, because what they did is they totally changed his blood where he's no longer in the image of God. Now he's in the image of man. May look the same on the outside, but on the inside, he has been reconstructed DNA-wise, and his body comes back to life and functions much, 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 much higher level and better intellectually in every kind of way than he did before. But once he does that, he cannot be redeemed. And guess what? As soon as he gets that DNA blood transfusion, or what? Not transfusion, but however they do it, editing his DNA, and cause his whole system to be, you know, amazing, then he's going to come alive, and people are going to go, well, how did that happen to you? We know you were wounded beyond, you know, you were wounded, you know, there was no way you were coming back. You're not going to get healed from that one. How did it happen to you? Well, here's how I did it. My grandfather had studied biology, and so they're going to give him the DNA lowdown and give this to them. And as soon as they get it, Satan enters into you. That's why when people take and they bow down to the image of the 666 or the DNA transformation, and you're made DNA-wise, or the image, bow down to the image, when you bow down to the image, you say, I want that too, because I got Alzheimer's, I got this, I got that, whatever the disease, whatever the sickness is. They already do some of this stuff already to a certain degree, friend. This is already being done to a certain degree. But they have hidden it. They have got it ready. And in 3 to 5 years or so, it's going to be fully it's already very, very developed. But it's about to be fully developed. And as soon as people – now listen to this. As soon as he becomes a testimony of how powerful that it is, all the other leaders are going to do it. They're going to go, man, it's like he became invincible. He became hyper-intelligent. What happened to him? Satan entered into him, and he became the leader of leaders in the one-world system. And then all the other ones, they don't have Satan inside of them. They don't have Satan himself inside of them. But they once you take that blood translation, once your blood becomes that of 666 or the code, the genetic code changes, and they totally change your code, which will be permanent, then guess what happens to the people when they bow down to that? You know why they can't be saved once that happens? It's not because they stick something in their hand or their forehead. That's not it, friend. You know what it is? Once they transform your DNA and you agree and you bow down to the image of that, then Satan and demons enter into you. And therefore, you are lost forever after that. You know, when I heard that today, I wept. Because I saw the reason and how and why they cannot be saved. Why they cannot turn around, because they didn't just get some chip in their hand. What is that going to do? It ain't like, oh, you got a chip in your hand, so okay, keep up with everybody who's got a chip in their hand, angels. They're not going to be saved. No, it's that's important, but that's not it. It's the blood image. It's the image and the DNA image that they put within you and change your DNA for good, and then it opens up for you to become full of the devil. You enter into hell permanently while you're still alive on the earth. Why? Because of the transformation of your DNA, of your blood, in the image that they make it. It cannot be reversed. And also, it's not just that it can't be reversed while you go to hell. It's because Satan enters into you, because that blood opens you up to demons, just like it opens up the Antichrist to Satan himself, because he already made a covenant. The reason he gets the privilege, if you want to say, among the world system to be the guy who has Satan himself as his leader, embody that man, is because his family made a covenant with him many years ago. And now his blood has been transformed. He's raised from the dead, basically. Now he can think clearly. His brain, his head, whatever injury he had, wounded unto death, has now been totally changed because they've worked this DNA thing to where, you know, that you become invincible, basically. And that's why they said, who can fight against him? Because they realize now he's like super intelligent. He has superpowers. Why? Because now, just like the Holy Spirit comes on us and we get powerful on high, so when Satan himself comes into this man and embodies him, all the power of Satan will be in that man. And everybody who bows down to the image, who receives the DNA transformation, when their blood is totally and completely changed, they are forever, ever lost. Not because they got a chip in their hand. It's because their blood was transformed and changed into a completely different image. They're no longer, no, watch this, the blood transfusion made them where they're no longer in the image of God, but now they are in the image of man's 666. It's a code. Not a number you're going to put on your head so much as it is a code of your DNA. Being changed totally and being edited. They already edit DNA now. They did cloning for a long time. Cloning didn't work that well. Cloning's too expensive. They can't clone every person in the whole world. Cloning is out as far as this goes. Cloning was only a process that they learned from about DNA. And now that they have developed DNA through much, much, hidden secret scientific and biology, these biologists and these scientists have been working on this for a long time, friend, a long time. And now it's ready. 3 to 5 years. I don't know exactly the time. 3 to 5 years. It's not now. The vaccine is not it. I'm not getting the vaccine. If you take the vaccine, I don't know what it's going to do to you. But I do know one thing. I'm not going to take it. But it has nothing to do with all the information about it and how it's affecting people. I'm not doing it. I've been doing it because God told me, don't let them put that stuff in your body ever. I haven't done it for years. Right? And so when this thing happens, it's not going to be a vaccine so much. I mean, it's going to be, they are going to edit your DNA. And I don't know how the process is exactly, though I have a big clue. But friend, this is why when the way that Satan enters into him, and what opens up the door is not because he's a bad guy and has a covenant with Satan. It's the transition. The final transition is going to be when his blood, when he makes that transition into the total transformation of DNA, the 666, or the genetic code of Satan and man. Then he's going to be hyper-intelligent. And then when Satan enters into him, he's going to have powers that they're going to be amazing. But guess what, friend? You know, for the most part, yeah, there's going to be people that are going to be martyred just like in the book of Acts. Read the book of Acts and read the book of Revelation together, and you're going to find out what the end times is going to be like. It gives it more of a practical understanding. A lot of leaders are going to be killed. You know, they're going to, like they killed Peter, James, John, you know, the apostles. Many of them, they didn't kill John. They didn't kill John. They killed all the other apostles. There's going to be death. They're going to mainly go after the leaders. So sheep, if you don't want to be martyred, you might not want to be a leader. You might want to sit back and go, hey, man, yeah, you guys go right ahead with all that. You know, I'll just be an intercessor and, yeah, a worshiper. Yeah. So the reason they go after the leaders is because they knock the leader out, you know, take the shepherd out, then they take out the sheep, they think. You know, so. But here's the thing, friend. All through the Bible, and I'm going to finish with this, all through the Bible, when you every time you see Satan manifest himself in any fashion or form or God's wrath being poured out, unless God's children are in deep sin, I mean deep sin, God always protects them. Egypt is the perfect example. When you see Egypt in Revelation, I mean in Exodus, you know, read Exodus 10, 11, and 12, and you'll see how that God actually is going to do this end time. He's going to pour his wrath out on the whole world, and so will Satan, on the whole world. It's going to be all over the globe, just like it was all over Egypt. You got to think about this. When God poured out his wrath, he started out with just in the Egyptian part, right? He started out with the Egyptian, the world, the worldly system, the ones who had all these gods. He poured his wrath out, the plagues out on them. And then in the final last plague, which represents the last days, the 10th plague, he brings it to the people of God to purify the whole earth, purify the whole region of Egypt, which represents the whole world. So God is going to pour his wrath out on the whole world. But guess what? When he poured his wrath out on Egypt, in Goshen, which is in Egypt, belonged to Egypt, that's where the Israelites live. He came, the angel of death came there also on the last plague. But guess what? They were protected. Why? Because they had a blood covenant with God, and they reactivated it fresh and anew. The blood covenant, the blood of the doorpost is not salvation, friend. It's a reactivation exteriorly of the covenant that we have with our God. Israel had been in covenant with God 500 years before they ever went into, before 500 years before this God plagued Egypt. 500 years they've been, you know, in covenant with God for at least 500 years. So the blood over the doorpost wasn't, you know, cutting a covenant with God for the first time. They were just restoring, renewing, and exteriorly, in obedience to God, revealing they have a covenant with God, and they trust God, and not man, not Egypt, but God. So when the plagues hit the people of God on that one, guess what? It didn't affect them because they had the blood over the doorpost. They were protected because they were covenant children, active, not inactive. If you're inactive and these plagues hit you, you know, if you don't have the blood over the doorpost actively right now, and a plague hits tomorrow, you don't have that activated in your eye, you could be taken out early. You go to heaven, but you'll be taken out early. You know, so, hey, you get to go to heaven a little early, whatever. But you're going to miss out on your purpose because what God's doing, this is the greatest movement of God ever in the whole earth. And the pre-trib people are so scared to death that we're going to be here for this thing, and yet it totally – they don't understand. This is the thing that God has been dreaming of. We are a privileged, special generation of people. Friend, you understand? That's why I despise that lie to have people scared to death of the Antichrist. You're going to cut your head off, as I've heard several of them say. Don't want to be here for that. You're going to cut your head off. John Hagee said that. I've heard know, other people, many people say that. That's what they say. Yeah, that's a fact. So, you know, it's so sad. But still men of God, still of God. They still have a covenant with God. But they're really, 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 really sadly wrong about that. And so, anyway, so what we're going to see, friend, is that the reason we need to understand this and know what the mark of the beast is and what it's about is when they try to come to you and say, yeah, this great world leader, and he's going to be known at the time. He's going to be revealed at the time. He's going to be a great world leader. He's going to be well-known, respected. How many heads did that beast have? Let's see. I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. It had seven heads and 10 horns. So there's seven heads. So we're talking about, you know, seven world leaders. And he's going to be picked out among them all because he has his family had a covenant with Satan many years ago. And when he has that wound, the reason that he gets the wound is so that Satan can show, hey, you take this DNA, you take our DNA little transformation going on here, the 666, the code, the genetic code change, you can be just like the Antichrist. You'd be protected and kept, provided for. We're going to provide. We're going to be your shepherd. We're going to be your provision. That's what the Antichrist is going to do, friend. And so when you realize, when you understand, if you understand this, then you're going to be aware of one thing. Yeah, don't take the. I'm not taking the vaccines. Or, you know that I don't like that stuff in my body. But at the same time, you know, I know that that's not the mark of the beast. That's not what's happening. They are going to change our DNA or try to, but they're going to do it on purpose. They're going to make you pay for it, basically. They're not going to try to hide it from you. They're going to say, we got the answer here. Look what happened to this world leader. And he was wounded unto death, and this thing that we have come up with, I don't know how they're going to do it, inject it into your body. I don't know how exactly they're going to do it. But it has to be, it can't be expensive. Cloning is very, very, very expensive. You can't clone the whole world. So cloning is out. But cloning, like I said, taught them about DNA. But the research on DNA through cloning was an amazing revelation about a lot of things. And so they could develop this thing where I don't know exactly how they're going to do it, but they're going to maybe inject you something, and they're going to be able to edit your DNA and fix you. But you're no longer going to be in the image of God on the inside. Your DNA gives you your image, right? What you look like, what side of the family, you know, whatever image you are. That's the image. But now that image is going to be marred. You may look the same, basically, but you're going to have the print, the mark of the beast is the DNA transformation, 666. So now that we know that, now that God's revealed that and how Satan enters into people, when they take that, it opens up the door for Satan because you're changing their blood. You're changing their codes. There's no resistance. They become pawns of Satan. That's why it's going to be so evil. But, so there you go, friend. So watch out for that one. Next 3 to 5 years or so, I don't know exactly. I don't have a timing on it exactly. But when I get something or when you guys get something from God, then we'll be letting people know about it. And if I have a special night where I'm going to be talking about this stuff, I will let you know. You won't have to look for it. We'll let you know that we're going to talk about it. If you want to come and listen, you can, or get on the archive. Send it out if you want. Do whatever. But this is what's up, friend. This is the revelation that I got today. And I wept when I got it. I haven't wept over – I usually weep over revelations. They usually excite me and make me happy. This one broke me. I saw it in the spirit when they changed your DNA to save you, to do you a favor, right, to make your intellect better, to everything. When they do that, then there's a door open for Satan to come and the Antichrist first. There's only one devil. He's going to enter into the Antichrist because the covenant and the change of the DNA, that's going to open the door completely for Satan to come rule him. There's not going to be any hindrance. There's not going to be any DNA things in him that can convict him of sin, right? Because he's going to have kicked all that out. And then the people who bow down to that image will be changed into the image. Satan will enter into them. Demons will just fill them. It's going to be a sad day, a very, very sad day. So pray about all that. Let's believe God to show us how to, you know, be protected, to love Jesus, not get offended, we're going to talk about Jezebel. We're talking about all this nasty stuff. I mean, this is nasty stuff, isn't it? It's not nasty, but it's, you know, it's the negative side of the gospel. I'd rather talk about healings and miracles and prophetic, but this is prophetic. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation 13 is the revelation of Christ, and everything we're getting is the revelation of Christ. In other words, God is opening our eyes to show us exactly what the mark is. Yes, the chip is important. The chip only connects us physically to bank accounts and that kind of thing, but the blood is the main thing. The chip is not the main thing. The blood is the main thing. You don't want the chip either. The blood's transformation is the big thing. That's the big one, where the devils just have right to you like there's no resistance at all. All right, I'm going to stop right there, I think, and thank you for being with us tonight. I went on for about an hour, I think. It takes a lot to download this stuff. Thanks for being patient, and thanks for listening. Thanks for praying for PGN. We're believing God for our studio that we can actually do videos. You know, like you know our old studio where we had big screens and all that. We're going to do all that, and it's going to be really fancy and nice and amazing, and we're going to inform the world of what's really going on and what's really happening. And believe me, it's going to be huge. We're just laying the foundation. God is giving us a revelation on revealing the Antichrist, which is also in the revelation of Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. It's all there. That's when we talk about it. Why is he talking about the negative stuff about the Antichrist? Because it's the revelation of Christ, according to the revelation, right? That's the revelation of Jesus, not the revelation of man. It's Christ's revelation revealing what's really going to go on. So pray for us that we will believe God for this, for our the hub of our ministry and for the world at our new studio. You know, we need over $600,000 still. So we're going to believe God for it to be cheaper than that, but that, right now it hasn't changed. So and we've raised in SAVE, we have somewhere around around $60,000 saved, and money that we saved from before, and that we have added in the last few months to the building fund. So, you know, I don't know if guys want to bring a big offering in somewhere through some outsider, some insider. Maybe one of you get blessed. God will really bless you, and you'll put in $500,000 or $100,000 or something, you know, or a million. That would be nice. So whatever God does, we don't know. He's going to have to bless us for that, right? I don't have that. You have that? No, you don't have that. None of us have that. But God does, and he's going to raise up somebody. He wants to bless people. The way God wants to do it, he wants to bless you with $1 million, with $10 million, so you can give $1 million or give $500,000 or give $100,000. That's what he wants to do. So if God blesses you with that, hallelujah. Think about us. Think about us. Amen. All right. He's going to bless you to be a blessing. However he has you be a blessing, that's between you and God. But we're looking forward to it. So thank you for being with us tonight. We're going to take our callers now. I have a lot more to say about all this. I'm just kind of breaking the ice with it. We're going to have to get it in our system little by little, and it's kind of the beginning stages of that. So pray for me as I do my best to download this information in a manner that people can receive it and understand it, so the revelation of Jesus Christ will be clear and plain. All right, then we won't be thinking something is when it's not, looking at one direction when it's not about that at all. The changing of the DNA, that's the big one, the change of the DNA. And they already got it all ready, friend. Believe me, they got it all ready. And it's now they're just trying to figure out how can they get it. What situation can happen in the world? What world disaster can happen to open the door for this? This COVID thing has been a great test for them. They've used this as a test because worldwide, it's been nothing but a test. Respond to certain information, certain things, to respond to, you know, an untested, an unproven vaccine. You know, who would want that? Nobody. They can't blame us for not wanting that. I wouldn't want it anyway, but some of these people could take it. Oh, my gosh. I hope they're going to be okay. I really do. But all right, so let's take callers. All right. All right, 570-225, who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Shalom, Prophet Randy. This is Lisa. Raquel from PA.
Hey, Lisa.
I am so resonating with what you're saying. Oh, my gosh.
So
on point. And I heard bits and pieces throughout the years that, you know, that really verify what you're saying. So it was like, it was just confirmation and validation to what God has been, you know, revealing. And it has to do with transhumanism and AI, and they're trying to build a super race, and the what is that called, the Chimera, where they splice DNA. You know, it's the Nephilim. It's the technology from Satan, you know, the Nephilim, the fallen angels, and so deep. And the COVID vaccine is just like a conditioning and ushering in to it. Because,
right.
you know, they came out with that patent last year, that patent that Bill Gates came out with the cryptocurrency and everything, and the 5G, and
right.
it was 060606.
Oh,
so it's
it?
Like they're testing
that.
Us. They're doing beta testing on us, you know, and seeing where it's going to come. And I just want to know, I don't want to say it because I don't know if God revealed it to you. I know that some people said that you said it over the air already. And but is it the last name R from the European family, German and England and France and all that? Is that who you're talking about?
I haven't revealed any name. I'm not going to reveal any names or even – I've done all the hinting I'm going to do about it.
Because I think he has
red hair. He has red hair. His original hair
the last
is
name,
red.
I think somebody said – I think Cheryl said that you gave the initials out and everything. And I know that you said
the red hair.
I heard that. And, you know, anyway, I believe I know who it is too.
No.
I don't know the person. I know the family. And the Lord has revealed, and they did make a covenant with Satan, you know, in the 1700s.
I don't know about that. Physically, God just revealed it. I really don't know. I've never done research to see if they did or not, because a lot of the news.
I have done research. A lot of it came out again. Like, the research that I did was back in the early 2000s, right after 9/11, when, you know, I was breaking out of the Matrix. And, going down that rabbit hole, that was like, woo, finding out a lot of things, you know, how the world works and things like that. And,
right.
you know, whatever we call the Illuminati, the powers that be, whatever you want to call it. But God is amazing.
I haven't revealed any names or given any, I don't know who said that, but it's okay. There's all kind of things that people say about things. I think, but no, I haven't renounced any initials or names or letters of the name or anything, but I think that it's real close. I think it's real close. And,
God can reveal it. No, it's not important.
Yeah.
It's whatever you're saying is what we need to know, because like I said, it was confirmation it makes so much sense. And I'm so glad that, you're speaking the truth, and you have that boldness and that confidence. And it's what the Lord revealed to me about the Mark of the Beast. It does. It takes away your conscience, you know, and some people who are whistleblowers and broke out, you know, you put all the little pieces of the puzzles together, you know, from different whistleblowers. It changes your conscience. Like, you won't have a conscience anymore. So all that code, DNA coding and everything, that is 100% correct, of course, because the Lord revealed it to you, but also it just resonates with me because of what he revealed to me and others, you know, and
it
changes your DNA code, and like you said, Satan will enter you, but it goes back to, like, the Nephilim, Genesis chapter 6, you know, and they're trying to create that super race, you know, and
Right. Yeah.
It's all about with it's just deep. But I'm so glad that you have the confidence, you know, Prophet Randy, and God has given you courage.
Anytime I'm talking about something that's controversial and I'm saying, thus saith the Lord, or I'm talking very boldly about it, it's not because I'm strong and I'm courageous at all. It's because once God shows you something, you just know it. So when you know something, you know it. If I'm guessing, you'll hear me say, you know, well, I think this is it, but I don't know. I'm kind of feeling like it is, but I'm not sure. But when I'm speaking, that's what was different about Jesus. Jesus spoke what the Father revealed to him. He wasn't just giving suggestions, as you know, or ideas that were good ideas. He was saying what the Father was saying, and when he said that, there was no he didn't fear anybody, what anybody, because he knew the Father was going to protect him. Anytime we're preaching and speaking what God is saying, we're going to have God's protection, so we have really nothing to fear. We may lose people, you know, here and there, and you know, in our ministries, in our whatever, but that may happen. But ultimately, when you're doing what God says, you're going to be provided for by Him because He wants the message out. So it's not that I appreciate you saying that, and I know you're not lifting me up in any wrong way, but I just want people to know I'm not this is not my own courage. You know, I don't have much of that, maybe a little bit, but God, when God gives me a revelation about something, when you just know it, now you know. So you just talk about it because you know it now. And so that's kind of what I think you hear. Yeah, so I appreciate that. And I think God's going to show a lot of people things. The thing that I had never, you know, I heard people say years ago too, this is not new. This is old news, what you're talking about. It, part of what you're saying is old news, where they said it's going to change your consciousness. Like somehow the chip is going to do something to your body. And it may do that. I don't know. But what God changed with me to make it plain was that He said, what's going to change even your consciousness isn't a chip in your hand so much as it is the change of the DNA. And I don't know exactly, precisely yet how they're going to do that, but I do know that they already have it. They've been working on it for a long time. I mean, that's all. You know, these people are multi-billionaires. I mean, they put, plus the Antichrist grandfather was a biologist, and, you know, he was really into this stuff. And so I think they may even have a patent. I don't know if they have a patent. I don't know what it would be called, but they are the head of this, and you can understand why, because when you make a covenant with Satan starts showing you how to do it, how to create, how to edit the DNA, because he's all out to shame God and change what God did, right?
Yes, and it goes back to, like, with the Nazis and all that. You know, it was before that,
yeah,
but
right.
It goes back to that, and they do have a patent, and they don't even need one, but they still have one, you know, and the changing of the DNA and that code, that so resonated with me because God showed me that a while back, and now I understand it a little bit more because you were getting revelation about the whole changing, you know, our godly DNA, you know, with the DNA of Christ and all that. So, like, there's always a righteous real and a counterfeit, a corrupt counterfeit, you know. And I said it goes back to the fallen angels and the Nephilim and how they created, you know, whatever they created back in Genesis 6 in the Book of Enoch, which, you know, is not canon. So, you know, I say that with a disclaimer. But it's it changes your you won't be able, like, even with the COVID vaccine that the trial run, the one that they're doing now, you know, there's Pfizer,
right.
Moderna, AstraZeneca.
Right.
They have a chimera, I think it's called. It's Chimera. Like maybe Jeff from Jeff and Yuki, Colorado. Those people might know what I'm talking about. But
okay.
It's Chimera, Chimera, whatever they call it. It's like they're mixing the different DNA and the genetics, you know. And so, even with this first run of the COVID vaccine, first of all, how they unleash the COVID disease is a laboratory bioweapon. So it's like now the COVID vaccine that they developed is changing our RNA, which is part of our DNA. So they're going to tweak it and tweak it, and they're going to bring it in phases. We're already in phase two of this agenda. I read a map scrub, but it's, are you there? Hello? Shalom. Prophet Ramsey. Shalom. Shalom. We take authority over all this interference in the name of Jesus, and we apply the blood, and we say cease and desist in the name of Jesus.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 214460 4997 is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Shalom. Prophet Ramsey. I don't know what is going on, but I know it's just a lot of warfare and interference over these phone lines, and we take authority right now. We say cease and desist in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We apply the blood of the Lamb. We speak confusion to the camp of the enemy now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who came in the flesh.
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3. To continue recording where you left off, press 4. Are you still there? If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3. To continue recording where you left off, press 4.
Okay.
Are you still there? If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3. To continue recording where you left off, press 4.
All right, can anybody hear me?
Sorry you're having trouble. Your message has been sent. Goodbye.
Shalom.
Okay, are you there?
Prophet Ramsey?
Okay, can you hear me now?
I can hear you, all that craziness. And yes, okay. The phones are calling people and all kinds of stuff. Okay,
I know.
Shalom.
Yeah, mine, everything just went crazy. Okay, I think we're back on.
We know what that's about.
I had to call myself on my – so anyway, go ahead. So you were saying something there, so go ahead.
Well, I don't remember what I was saying, but I was just talking about, you know, the truth. So we just – first and foremost, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who came the flesh, over these airways. We consecrate him to the Lord God Almighty. Let the truth come out. We bind the powers of darkness operating. We speak confusion to the camp of the enemy now. Death, dumb, mute, and silence in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We thank you, Father, for our protection. We thank you, Father, that we are seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus, far above every principality, dominion, and throne and authority on this earth, under the earth, in the name of Jesus. We thank you. Okay.
Amen. Okay, good job.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
So I was just, anyway, what I was saying is what you've been saying. And I agree with you. I understand what you're saying, and I was saying amen about how the reason why you have the confidence and the courage is because it is God.
Right.
But
I also
just think I'm very grateful, Prophet Ramsey, to be connected to this ministry, this end time ministry of Prophetic Grace Network, you know, and I didn't get a text. I'm in the boonies. I didn't get a text today. The Lord had me call in today. Yeah, I don't even. Yeah, my phone doesn't even work over here. You know what I'm saying? And the Lord speaking to me and told me to call in.
Yeah.
And
I usually get up
at 4 o'clock in the morning. So
let's just move on. Let's just move on with what we're talking about. Thank you for sharing all that. Let's just move on with this thing. So it's really amazing, and I just got that. When I got that revelation today, I wept hard, bitterly, it was a bitter, for some reason, it was a bitter revelation. And the person I was with was like going, like, oh, my God, you know, they, you know, I'm just not usually, that doesn't usually happen to me. So it was, he just suddenly opened my eyes to that the blood, changing the blood is what opens up even the Antichrist man to become Satan's person. I mean, he actually enters into to that man and becomes Satan incarnate, if you will. And so it's just, I mean, when I saw that today, and then the people that bow down to that image, of, and it's about the DNA. I'm not saying there's not going to be other image things, but the image is what they're creating, our image, our DNA, into the image of man, fixing man and making man provision for man and leaving God completely out of it. So when they do that in the DNA realm, then they open up the whole, every human being who bows down to that, Satan has access through the DNA chains to possess him. And that's why once they've done that, they sold their souls out, because Satan enters into them, not Satan himself, but demons. And then he has, and then watch this, man, then he has an army of people who are not just, you know, regular folk who are dedicated to him. These people are filled and accessible to demons in their, and whatever he wants them. And so that's how they become an army. And so when I saw that today, and then once that person does that, they're going to hell. I mean, there's no question about it. They can't change that. That's been done. That's a a permanent change. Yeah.
Now, do you know about what that is? It's trauma-based mind control, and what they do is they do. It's really, I don't. It's heavy. So
no, it's through the DNA. It's
occult rituals and trauma and a lot of torture. And it's like, you know, it's like hazing on steroids.
No.
And that opens them up to all these demons, and that's how they get the power. And they're
no, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that what opens them up to it is the combination of the code, of the genetics that they've come up with. That's what does it. It's not about torture. I'm not saying people aren't going to be tortured, that kind of thing, but that's not what changes them at all. That's what I'm trying to say. This revelation does away with a lot of things that people have said. That's the reason I'm making this point. It's not about torture. And I'm not saying they're going to torture people. It's not going to happen. But how they do this transition, the image you bow down to isn't torture. It is. People are going to be welcoming this thing because it's going to change their life. It's going to make them special. It's going to make. They're not going to be going, no, don't give it to me. No. They're going to be saying, hey, man, I want that. I'll give my life. I vow my life to you. Because man, when they see the change in the man, in this regular man who becomes the head leader of all the heads, because there were like several heads that we talked about here in Revelations, seven heads, when that one particular leader that everybody's going to know at the time, who is the man I'm talking about, when he has a head wound of some sort and it's deadly, then the DNA thing that saves him, everybody, including all the other leaders, are going to know this was real. This wasn't fake. This is real. There was no torture involved. So what happens is the DNA change is what makes him powerful. And so he becomes a full-fledged 666 code DNA person, and that's what opens him up to these things. So that's what I'm trying to say. A lot of the things I've heard, now I'm saying that that's not even true anymore, because once they change the DNA, then into the 666 to the code that they've come up with, then that's what's going to cause the enemy to enter into them, and then they're subjects of Satan without any way to change it. That's what makes it.
That's what I wept over
today.
Did you ever see the video of the Japanese guy? I forget his name, but somebody who's listening probably knows. He talked about it like they have this technology where you blink your eye, and it's like it's a computer. It's like robotic AI, artificial intelligence. And they now have, like, they're making it a god into a religion. They're saying that's source. So everything you're saying is really backed up, Prophet Randy. It's backed up out there. And
I don't know. It may be. It may be.
Like, they say, like, okay, it's going to be like, it's going to know all your everything, like, you know, the mark is going to be like, it's going to know all your history, your like you said, like your disease, like, and it's going to be so high level that it's going to they celebrate it like it's like a miracle, like, oh, like, you know, your vision will be perfect, your hearing, like, it's going to make, like, there's no diseases and things like that.
Right,
The Japanese guy, there's a video of him explaining it. And tapping into a God gene. We have a God gene. So everything that you're saying, there's videos and evidence out there to back it up.
Wow.
So
cool. Yeah, I've heard some of that stuff. I never understood it. I still don't know that I. Because see, the way God does me is He gives me something revelatory, and then He takes me through, and I look for research on it, which I haven't had a chance to do, because it happened today, about two or three hours ago. It just happened today, this portion of this. And so I haven't had a chance to look at anything, but I don't know about all that. I'm sure that's probably right, but intellectually I'm going like, duh, really? You know, like they have a God gene. I'm sure that we do. I think we have to have one, but you see, somehow or another so they're going to work it. I want to move on, but it's very, very big. People are not going to go. They're not going to be. It's not going to be forced upon them. They're going to be. I mean, I'm not saying they're going
to
force things.
Right? Running to jump in line.
They're going to be right? Exactly. That's why all this stuff about they're going to be forcing people to do things. The thing they're going to try to force us to do is to deny Christ. You know, that's what they're going to be trying to force some people to do. But we're going to have a lot of protection. God's going to protect. You see it in the Bible where he takes the woman in with the wings of an eagle into the wilderness, protects them. You have the 144,000. You have tongues of every tribe and nation. You have that one country, I think it's Moab, not Moab, but I think it's I can think of the country that doesn't bow down to the Antichrist at all, even when Israel, to a certain degree, has. They never bow down. And when the Antichrist is in the temple, they never bow down. So there's people that don't bow down at all over the place. But we don't hear much about that because they're so caught up into, you know, trying to convince people we're going to be out of here, which is a complete lie. So I just tell
so
it like it is.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I was just telling my mom about that. Like, I was just like, I don't know if I believe the rapture anymore, Ma, because, like,
pre-trib.
You know, what we brought up on that whole thing, I was like, not that I don't believe in it, but not in the way we were taught. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Especially
right,
not pre-trib and all that, because I know He cares about souls so much. Like, that's His main thing.
Okay.
Like, why did Jesus die? So the souls can be saved. So we need a mighty harvest, you know? And if He raptures everybody up out of here, what would be the purpose? So I'm glad you spoke on that. Thank you for that.
Yeah,
so.
I want to move on, but thank you for all that. That's right. I'm so glad. I want to pray for you, too, before I move on. But it's really interesting. And I'm going to, you know, people can say whatever they want, whatever they believe. We're all going to be transitioned. There's some things that I've probably believed that I thought was right because I heard well-intentioned, powerful people say that when God gives me revelation, then it takes a little time for it to completely change. And He says, you know what you used to believe about that? That's not true with that anymore. That's what this means. I went, oh, okay. And He starts changing the way I believe about things because the revelation that He gives me. I don't change things because I get scientific information of people proving things on the Internet. That's wonderful, and that's a great way for some people to get their revelation. But mine, the way God does me personally as a prophet, is that He speaks to me first about it, and if it's out there, sometimes it's out there, sometimes it's not out there. And then He confirms it. He has to do that way with me because I can't be influenced. I've already been through the realm of being influenced by other prophets and other people. It's a messy mess. That's what happened with the Donald Trump thing. One prophet influenced another prophet, then influenced another prophet, and they meant well.
Yeah.
They're good guys, but they just influenced each other into a hole, and I've seen it happen. I've been part of it before. I know exactly what it's like. I felt for them when they were doing it. We're going to change a lot of things. Okay.
Before you pray, off the subject. You prayed for Andre the other week, and when I told him, Randy, he started crying because the Lord just met him. You know, he read his mail about that black hole and that oppression, and just to pray because he has a lot of hurt from growing up. A lot of hurt. His mother was on drugs, and then you said something about the gangs and all that. So it's like that deep wounds are still affecting him. So I was telling him about you know, healing our trauma and what what the memory of that. So,
right,
so I just wanted to let you know it really touched him. So thank you.
Oh, I remember that last week. Yeah, I'm gonna pray for you. So I'm gonna move on here, but
mute you just for a second. Thank you, Lisa. We love you and appreciate your saying. I want to pray for you. Thank you for all that. Thank you for your love for God and for everything. We're all going to learn things, and we're going to change. I'm going to change. I'm going to say I used to believe this. Now God's showing me this. So if I don't mean to be rebukive over people. I'm not being rebukive. I'm just saying I want to make it very clear because I have a responsibility to make everything very clear. So if somebody says something that I no longer believe, I don't want to be like, you know, you can't believe that. I just want to make it clear on PGN where God is taking me personally. That way people can know for sure. So if somebody says something that mixes with something else that I don't no longer believe, you know, that particular thing, then I'm just going to try to graciously as I can to just to let people know that. But so I thank you for that testimony. I remember when we prayed for him, Andre. Yeah, I just felt such a love for Andre, Lisa. It was amazing when I saw that pit, that black hole that he was in and the whole thing. That was a scary moment, but yet because God was revealing it to me, he showed me that there was hope for him, and I'm glad you shared it with him because it will hopefully that will bring great hope to him. And with your counsel and your wisdom and God gives you to counsel him and help him come out of that trauma, there's hope, man. There's hope. I guarantee you there's hope, man. Oh, Jesus, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for Lisa tonight. We just continue to pray for her and for Andre, her friend. Dear Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, and by the way, I already knew, you know, you even said this, and I know he said that he was in gang, so that was not a word of knowledge. That was something that we've all talked about before. As you know, I don't think you were saying that, but I just want to keep that clear on the show. That was not a word of knowledge. Something I had knowledge that I had from him, you guys shared. But the black hole thing, all that was like, wow, I saw that for the first time. And so thank you, Jesus. Just, Lord, let your compassion in Lisa reach out to the lost and to the dying, to those that have, you know, already had bad DNA. Like, we all have bad DNA, right, because we're all sinners. Some of us have worse DNA than others, but we're all sinners. There's not one that can throw a stone at anybody. If we have one sin, one bad DNA, you know, one genetic issue, or we got 1,000, it doesn't matter. We're all on the same level and as far as it goes. We're here to help each other, knowing that those people are like that because their genetic code has bent them toward that. How can we condemn them or even blame them? Yes, hold them accountable and then change them with love and mercy and grace, and that's one of your jobs with Andre. And I thank you, Jesus, for that, and giving her your such a love for him. Father, we appreciate that with Lisa, and open up that place, that dimension of health and help and healing and hope for him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And for Andre, God, that you will open up avenues for him to unlock those things, break the seals of that pain and those issues. And plus, and then the DNA. We've got to change the DNA. I got to say this real quick, and then I'm going to take another call. I heard the Lord say to me the other day, I wrote it down because it's so amazing, about this DNA. The Lord's like asking me, you know, what's going to be the big thing that people are going to be cried out for in the end times with all the revelation that we have from medical and scientists? You know what they're going to be crying out? You know what the Lord showed me? I can find exactly how he gave it to me. The whole world is going to cry out, we need a DNA change. We need our DNA change. The whole world is going to cry out, or we need a DNA change, a blood change. So Jesus says, I've already provided it, but I shed my blood, my DNA, on the cross. Isn't that awesome? The whole world is going to cry out, we need to change the DNA. The DNA change. And Jesus says, that's why I came, was to change the DNA and provide a new DNA. Oh, my Lord and my God. So the Antichrist is going to, of course, you know, have a copy of that. Or, you know, he's going to try to copy that. It's going to be all wrong, all of it. It'll be amazing. All right, 551-404, who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Oh. Hello?
Yes. Hi, who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Hi, this is Tasha.
As far as who?
Tasha.
Esther?
Tasha. And my friend Chris. We were calling for prayer.
Oh, great. Tasha and Chris. Okay, Tasha. Yeah, let's pray for you guys. Thank you for being in here tonight. Thank you. Tasha and Chris, okay. I'm going to mute you just for a moment, Tasha and Chris. So just hang on for a minute as I minister to you. Thank you, Lord, for Tasha and Chris tonight. God, I thank you for how you, when you bring people together, you bring them together with different elements, like when they made the precious holy oil in the temple, in the tabernacle. It was very detail ordered by God himself through Moses. God spoke to Moses, said, told him how to make the oil. It was a very special ingredient, and those special ingredients, you know, all made the oil what it is, holy. They said they couldn't even use that oil for anything else. So when God brings people together, you know, Tasha may have this ingredient and Chris has this ingredient, but when you bring those two ingredients together, it creates a blessing. It creates an anointing. That's why sometimes that we need people not only as a marriage or friendship, but also in ministry and in business. We need people that have, you know, the ingredients that we need. Because the man, when God created Adam, he created Eve out of Adam's rib. So he took a rib, part of Adam, took it out of him. Something was now missing. What was it? You know, something about the rib. So now that the ingredient that man needs, a male, needs to be made whole or, you know, to be completed, that's why God did that, so that we would always need the ingredient of the woman, you know. And, of course, there are a few people here and there, like Paul the Apostle, who were not made to be married, but those of us who are, you know, are women with their man. They have that ingredient that makes something holy. You know, behold how good and how pleasant it is, Tasha and Chris, for God to, for Psalm 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is for, let me just read this to you. I want to give it to you in a certain version. Let me read this to you. I can't even go there with that without Psalms 133. Some reason the Lord wants me to go there. Well, Psalms 133. Make sure and pray for Terrence. Terrence is doing good. He's a little sore from the accident last night. Make sure and pray for him and Tanisha. So I look the scripture up, Psalms 133. All right, it says here in this Berean Study Bible, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers or human beings live together in harmony. It is like a fine oil on the head, running down the beard, running down Aaron's beard, over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew from Hermon falling on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has bestowed the blessing of life forevermore. So what I'm hearing the Lord say here with this particular version is that behold how good and how pleasant it is for Tasha and Chris to dwell together in unity, you know, whether that be simple friendship or marriage or whatever. When God brings those two ingredients together, then there is an anointing oil. There's a fine oil. It's like fine oil or special oil, holy oil, that is created out of that relationship because of the different ingredients each person has. It's so important, and so that's why the enemy tries to get in and divide a male from a female and a female from a male, and he gets the males to love males and females to love females, because he knows as long as he can keep people doing that, they're never going to be truly fulfilled in a relationship. That's why homosexuals are so angry, and it's such an aggressive thing, because when they come together with their man, the lacking part that they're looking for in that man is not there. It's in the woman. God put it in the woman. And we could go on about that, but I'm not going to go there tonight. But very, very important. And then also there's the ingredient that's in each rib. It's in each person.
that God brings together. So as God is bringing together, it starts to run down the beard, running down Aaron's beard over the collar and the robes. In other words, it begins to flow. It begins to activate. It begins to cause things to happen. So I thank you, Jesus, for bringing Tasha and Chris together in whatever area you have them in. We thank you, Jesus, for that harmony. Behold, how pleasant it is for them to live in harmony. God, that they realize that she has something he doesn't have and he has something she doesn't have, and we need each other in a godly way. And I thank you, Jesus. There you bestow the blessing forevermore on those people that come together in that fashion, Lord, in Jesus' name. So when we pray for Tasha tonight, God, I thank you, Lord, for giving her for the spirit of grace in her, God, that she released the spirit of grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is not receiving somebody or standing with them because they're all perfect, but because you know you're called to be together. When you're called to be friends, you have people that are called to be in business together. When it's God, it's a beautiful thing. Doesn't mean they don't have issues, but those issues get worked out for glory. We all have issues. We're going to have stuff. But grace, Tasha, grace is giving unmerited, undeserved favor. In other words, the whole thing about dwelling together in unity is really about grace. And that's one of the ingredients God has given you. He's given everybody a little bit of grace, but he's given you an ingredient of grace. And that grace is an open arm, open love relationship to where people don't have to perform before you accept them, right? That you accept them the way they are and believe God to change them. And that it is God to change them, not us to change them, right? Yeah, that's the thing for all of us. It's hard to do when to change people. And so, Lord, tonight for Chris, we thank you for Chris, God. We thank you, Lord, that in the numbers realm, God's going to use him in the numbers realm, you know, in numbers. And I don't know what that is in numbers, but God's going to put together numbers in his head. He's going to put together numbers in him, something to do with numbers. I don't even know what that is, but thank you, Jesus, for numbers and for letting his head work together with numbers, letting his purpose work together with numbers and be able to, numbers doesn't necessarily mean he's great at math or not great at math. It's not really about math. It's about the way God makes you, the way you think, the way you put things together. Mathematicians can put numbers together to come up with a formula. You know, but it's not necessarily saying that Chris has been made to be a mathematician so much and come up with numbers to create a formula, but he's made the way he thinks, the way he works on things, the way things are developed to him, that he ends up creating a formula for things. You know what I'm saying? So it's not necessarily just about numbers as far as 1, 2, 3, 4. It's about being able to put things together where there is something developed. You know, like I said earlier, like some type of, formula for something that actually makes something, right, that makes things. So that's in Chris. And so those two things together is one of the many things, but pretty cool. Tasha, Chris, what's going on tonight? What can we pray with you guys about?
Hi. Thank you so much, Randy. I thank you for that, but Tasha, Chris is my best friend. She's a girl.
Okay. Well, that's okay. That's what I'm saying. See, well, if you listen to everything, I don't know who Chris was, but when God brings people together, like I talked about in business,
mm-hmm.
Even though I was mentioning, male and female, when God, put, took the rib out of a female,
mm-hmm.
God, has this way, and like all the holy oil things, where all the different the ingredient in people, when those people come together, whether it be male or female, or just people that have ingredients inside them, that creates a thing to where, things work. In other words, the friendship is because you have ingredients that she doesn't have, and she has ingredients you have. In other words, mm-hmm. that's what draws people are drawn together many times. Just to be in friends or be in business or have, do ministry together, whatever they're doing together. Paul the Apostle worked with other men. He didn't work with other women, right? He worked with other men
mm-hmm.
in ministry. So it didn't have to be necessarily a male and a female for that, but in the overall spectrum of things, you see what I'm saying? God, there's ingredients that God puts together in people. So, yeah, something like that.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm in agreement.
Thank you.
Okay.
'Cause we're talking about going into business together, so we definitely receive
awesome.
That.
Right. So there's something there. I don't know you guys. I think we talked, I think, once before. You came on the show once before, if I remember correctly. So there's something there about the whole thing with that was about ingredients and how God, puts different things in different people, different gifts and talents. You know, with friends, I've been friends with brothers, and I've been friends with, couples. We've had couples where couples get together and they have – what they have together as a couple and what I would have together with my wife and I, the ingredients that we put together, it creates an amazing environment. So when people come together and they all have different gifts, different talents, many times opposites are attracted to each other. Why? Because you have things that they don't have and they have things you don't have, whether it's in business or marriage or friendship or whatever that thing is, or ministry. That unity is important because the ingredients that you have guys have together, that's what makes it work. So if you're talking about going into business together, then maybe there's something to that.
Amen. Thank you so much. We really appreciate that.
Okay. So I kind of went all over the place with the ingredient thing and the male and the female thing and all that. I didn't know exactly. I didn't know who I was talking to, but anyway. But I think maybe we understand a little bit better now. Hopefully.
Yeah.
So you got. Have you guys known each other for a long time? I mean, are you been friends for a long time, or just last few years,
or
what?
Yeah, 15 years.
Oh my goodness! There you go.
We just wanted to see if we can get a word from, just a word and prayer for protection and guidance and direction.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for wisdom, God, on who to connect with. Who you connect with is everything. And the wisdom God gives you is who you connect with. It's not an intellectual thing like, okay, I think, I can figure out who I can work best with or who can work best with me or who I'm going to deal with in business or who I'm going to be doing things with, whatever's going on with that. But it's really, whom God brings together, let no man put asunder, right? And we're talking about that with marriage. But when I'm talking about it, when God brings people together, like I've had people that looked like I could work together with them, but it just never would work. Something was always wrong. Something was always messed up. And so when God puts people together, and mainly he's talking about marriage in that situation, but when God puts people together, a man can't put us asunder.
Amen.
Amen. Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello, Andy. Can I hear you?
Hello?
Hey.
Okay, there we go. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know what that was. Okay, so we had some, I don't know, maybe my phone messing up on me there. Very interesting. Okay, I don't know what's going on. It's really nuts. All right, 863-605, are you there? Hang on a second.
Yes.
Okay, hey, 402-214, you
hello?
There?
Yeah, hi, Randy. It's
yeah,
Karen.
Okay. I think I was having I think that was actually my phone that was doing that, because when I unplugged the earpiece, all of a sudden I could hear again. So it must be my earpiece messed up.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, that was weird. I called like 3 times because I thought called back.
Yeah.
Because I thought, well, maybe I did something wrong. And
no, you didn't. I think it might have been my phone, but.
Well,
okay,
did
so...
you try to call me?
Yes, I even tried to call you.
Okay, because I answered, but I didn't hear anybody. So.
Yeah, that's probably because my phone, I think my earpiece must be missed. I don't know what was going on. Anyway, awesome. Well,
okay.
That was my fault there. That was not your
well,
fault.
Glad.
That was not your thing. Okay, so let's pray for you. Sorry, y'all.
Thank
sorry
you.
About that. I don't know I guess my phone must have been messed up. That whole time it was my phone, I think. Wow, that was crazy. Okay, I'm going to mute you for a second. Let's thank you, Jesus, for my sister tonight, God. We thank you for rightly dividing the word of truth. God, showing her how to rightly divide truth that comes from God and truth that just comes from, you know, religion or things that people, that men say, that that's not God, that we get, that we be able to discern the things that God is saying to us through his word, through, you know, having an ear to hear what the voice of God says and what proceeds out of the mouth of God, that we start being able to hear and understand what God is saying and what's proceeding out of the mouth of God, whatever way that happens through the scripture or through prophetic or whatever, through a priest, through a preacher, through you know, whoever it is. And so we thank you, Jesus, for that and refining her ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord says. Because the Bible says to the bride, you know, to hear the voice of the bridegroom. And so I thank you, Jesus, that that my sister begins to hear the voice of the bridegroom, that she hears the voice of the bridegroom. And so the bridegroom's voice, you know, whatever that is, I'm not even sure what's different about that than anything else, but I think the bridegroom just speaks differently somehow or another, has a different relationship with us, because he's the bridegroom. He's not just God or the Savior or the Lord or the Messiah. It's a different relationship of the voice of God that she, that you began to show her and me, I think it's it, on how to develop that relationship between the bride and the groom, and that fellowship that we have with you, Jesus, in that very special realm of being your bride, being the bride of Christ. Open her up to that, God, and move her and motivate her in those ways that she will be moved by your voice in that realm of the bridegroom. Wow, interesting. I don't know that, yeah, I've ever heard that before. That's pretty awesome about the bridegroom and speaking differently than, you know. So
I have never heard, yeah. I've never heard that. That's really cool. I'll have to really pray about that. So funny. You know how one time you said you thought you might be a priest? Well, one time I thought I might be a nun. You know, I thought maybe I was
really
supposed to be a nun. Yeah. But I thought I'm not good enough, you know?
Well,
never thought I was,
none of us
I
are
was good,
good
enough.
Yeah. Right. Gotcha. Gotcha. Interesting. I don't know. I mean, I don't even know what that means by the voice of the bridegroom. I mean, you know, I've just never heard the Lord talk like that before. That's the first time I've ever heard that. So that was a new one for me. Yeah, very, very interesting.
Yeah. I always hear about, when I think of the bridegroom, I think of the women, you know, outside waiting with their lamps and the ones who don't ran out of oil. That's the only, I always think I'd
the bridegroom thing.
Miss the boat. Voice of the bridegroom. Well, I would love to hear his voice, you know, audibly hear it.
Yeah.
You heard it. I mean, you heard it.
Well,
once,
I don't,
right?
Oh, I've heard his voice before, but not what we're talking about, a very specific, I think there's different way he speaks to us. He speaks to us, his voice, because he's our Savior, so he speaks to us sometimes as the Savior. Sometimes he speaks to us as, you know, God Almighty, you know, Sovereign Lord.
Right.
He speaks
to
us as the Messiah, as a shepherd. But when he speaks to us as, what I was hearing out of it was that when he speaks to us as, you know, the bridegroom, it's like when you come out, when you talk to your wife, your bride, you don't talk to her like the guys at work, you know? Yeah, you don't talk to them like you're the boss. If you come home and you talk to your wife like you're the boss, she's going to go like, I think you need to go back to work, honey, because I'm not your servant.
Right.
You know,
right,
something like that.
Right. More compassionate, more, your couple, your friend, your partner.
Yeah. Yeah, the person you share your life with, and that, so it's a special kind of a thing.
Yeah. That's really exciting. That's really, really cool. And the first part of it, you were talking about truth, which is so
yes,
on my heart a lot.
Okay.
Wanting to know the
yeah,
truth.
Yeah, I think all. Yeah, me too. Me too. Just like the whole thing about the DNA thing and the you know, the mark of the beast,
right.
All that. I've never thought about all that before. That was brand new to me.
I know.
And to hear the
I
truth
know.
On that, it's very, very, it's very cool, very amazing.
Yeah, very scary, very ominous. Ominous is the right word. Because, I don't know,
yeah.
Randy, you've been praying and stuff, so you might not know, but what's happening right now in Israel?
Right.
The war, the fighting, the bombing is from both sides in Jerusalem, over
right.
Jerusalem. I'm thinking, oh, my God. You know, brings me to that passage in the Bible where Jesus tells us how we'll know when all the, you know, the big countries circle around and start fighting around
yeah.
Jerusalem.
So, yeah, it definitely, I've been keeping up with that a little bit. It's been definitely a major, it's definitely something completely different than they've had before, from what I understand.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's really bad.
I think it's a sign. I think it's just another sign of everything we've been talking about. We've been talking about all this stuff about the end of the end times, and that. And I think it's kind of another rattling of the cage to get people out of their oh, it's not the end times. You know, the end of the end times yet. Get rattle their cage
yeah.
a little bit. You know.
Well, you know, I know you don't know a whole lot about the Catholic Church or the teachings. Or how they work or how what it's like. But
yeah.
they don't talk about, you know, that they don't usually you would never hear a priest say anything about the end times, you know. And they don't talk about charisms and things like that. But in the last, I don't know, 10 years at least, you've
yeah.
heard several priests and several bishops say it is the end time. They come right out and said it. And
oh,
they don't
really?
Ever do that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, you know, one thing I did learn about God is that he meets everybody where they're at. So, you know,
right.
when it's God's word, he says the same thing to a lot of different people. Around the, you know, world.
Yeah. True.
But I don't know. I
right.
wanted to go back and figure out which, trying to figure out which teaching you were doing when I heard you saying something about the Catholic Church, and I didn't know, I didn't get the first part of it. So I wanted to go back and listen, but I don't know what night, I think it was a couple of nights you said something. But I don't know what.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of people think that the Catholic Church, and not the people, but the hierarchy of it is going to be, you know, the false prophet and all this thing, because they're going to be all inclusive, you know, with every religion and all that.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't have any revelation
not...
on the Catholic Church being anything. I don't
oh,
even know
okay.
what the Catholic Church
I
is, but that's just kind of a. No, I have no revelation on it. I just hear what other people have said
well,
and have wondered about it. Yeah.
Yeah, what you're saying right now, what you just said, is definitely an issue that is causing division in the church. Remember I told you before that there's some, you know, there's Catholics, there is division. There's one... Like
right.
what you said, this all-inclusive stuff, that's not okay.
The gospel. Yeah.
Yeah. And anyway, there is a division. In fact, some of the visionaries that when Mary has given messages, it has been that this is going to happen, that there's going to be a big, big problem in the Catholic Church. And a lot of people think the messages from Fatima are the one I'm speaking of, the third message and the third secret. And that's one of the reasons that a lot of they don't think the popes gave the secret out, because it had to do with the pope being shot and schisms in the church. So that is already, that's definitely been prophesized.
Okay. So that's kind of a thing within the Catholic Church, even that the Catholics,
yeah.
I didn't really know exactly. I think you've talked about it a little bit. That's why I'm glad we have you on, so you can tell us from the inside, a little bit more from the inside of being a Catholic yourself. The Catholic people are very precious people. I mean, that I've known, that's very dedicated to God, love God, really dedicated to God. But the hierarchy of it, I think, has just susceptible to, you know, that kind of thing. So it's scary to know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Pope right now, he's getting the all inclusive thing going at another level, right? Is that actually happening?
You know, I don't know. I hear there's a lot of misquoting going on, so I'm kind of on the fence. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if he is leading the church, you know, to hell, or if his words have been twisted, you know.
Right. That does happen,
There was a big controversy recently because it sounded like he was saying that gay couples their marriages could be blessed in the church. And, you know, finally came out and said, no, that's not what he's saying. He just said that everybody deserves the same human rights.
Right.
Is what he was saying.
I think I heard
not
that, yeah.
That. But there's a big problem right now. In fact, I just listened to this young priest in Canada who's talking about Germany, the Catholic Church in Germany trying to change things, and it's not good. It's not okay. It's not gospel. And that's basically, you know, what Catholics have to do is they have to look at the gospel. They've got to look at what's written in the word and not let anybody twist it.
Right.
So
there's a group of Catholics that believe in the gospel. You know, Christ is the only answer. And then there's those that are trying to open up the door. Like you said, there's so many rumors about what the Pope, just like people misquote me, they misquote, you know, much less world leaders.
Right.
They misquote them all the time because they want to create confusion. But so it is hard to know exactly what he believes sometimes, because those who hate him and hate the Catholic Church, you know, do try to twist his words and make it look like. But there is a group Catholic Church hierarchy, I guess, that is going to, I mean, even the Catholics believe that, I think, that there's going to be a hierarchy that's going to do the all-inclusive thing and be like what we call the false prophet of the world leader, right? Is that kind of a thing?
Right. Yeah, I never knew, you know, I remember my elderly cousins, you know, that were such Bible Belt Baptists. When I went to stay with them, you know, we talked and she, you know, they believed that Satan was the head of the church. The Catholic Church, and I just thought that was so crazy. But now, I'm looking at, well, maybe they were right. Maybe that's what's going to happen. I know that there's going to be the major division going on, you know, and that's a big problem.
Right.
I don't know. You know who it is, though. You said so.
Well, the Antichrist, not the false prophet.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know who the false I do not know who the false prophet is. I knew who the Antichrist is.
Well, see, I thought the false prophet was the Antichrist. No?
No, you have a false prophet and Antichrist.
Okay, see, I don't know.
That's okay, yeah. It says that the beast, the false prophet will approve of the beast. In other words, the religious whoever they're going to be is going to say, this man is really a man of God, and he's our, you know, our leader. Yeah, and then they kind of work together. That's kind of...
I see.
Yeah.
Well, I do know that whoever the Antichrist is, you know, he's not going to let people know that he doesn't believe in God, that he doesn't, but he doesn't. I know that. Because he believes he is God.
Eventually, yeah. He's going to eventually do that, yeah. He's going to lead them to think that he's got the right thing going on, and then he's going to say he's God, and that's when the Jews are going to go, that's not right. Let's get him out of here, you know. And so that's when all hell breaks loose, and 3.5 years of, you know, pure trouble comes. So that's a whole different development.
All I know right now is what's happening over in Israel.
Right.
The Jews fighting the Israelis. I mean, they're bombing the children. Everybody's getting killed. I mean, it's going on 24 hours. It's a major war right now. It's not just a insurrection. It's become a big war, and a lot of people are saying Biden needs to do something more. It's kind of like as soon as we started pulling out the troops, everything is going crazy, but it's pretty scary.
Yeah, it's just a sign of the times, I think. We'll find out more about that in the future, what's really going on with all that. I really don't know either. I mean, I'm very familiar pretty familiar with what's going on the last couple of days, a little bit. You know, it's definitely an escalation, no doubt.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Yeah, and that's what it started, just the last couple of days that it really, you know, really got bad. But so you're not, do you believe that this COVID, these shots is like a precursor to something, bigger?
I think it is the opening. It's kind of how they're going to, you know, they're going to have a lot of trouble with it. There's a lot of bad news about it. A lot of people are not. Texas is now saying, in the Senate, the Senate is saying that Texas is not going to make people take it. It's not going to be mandated. They believe that they're giving testimonies of hundreds of people that are being messed up by it, that it's not proven, it's not FDA approved, that people are being, you know, messed up with it. So I think every state's going to have to deal with it individually. But, yeah, I think that I personally am not going to take it at all. I don't even take anything. I don't put any of that stuff in my body. I don't let them put anything in my body, flu shots or anything. But that's just my personal conviction. So I feel the same thing. So I'm not going to change my mind about this, you know, much less anything else. So, but I don't know. They haven't proven it. There's been a lot of bad things that have been said about it. So I think that I think it is a stirring around because they're talking about DNA being messed up permanently. We haven't heard that talk before that I remember about your DNA being messed up permanently through a vaccine or through something. You know, so it's opening up the door for everything God's been showing me about the DNA being, they're going to open us up to, the DNA change.
Especially getting people to, like, give up their rights to not take it, you know, because in New York and a lot of the colleges, they are looking at you can't go unless you have the vaccine.
Exactly.
So, you know, and all the commercials are really promoting it, and people are being shunned if they don't. And I don't know, personally, I'm having a disagreement with my daughter. I mean, they've opened it up to 12 years old and up now.
That
scares the hell out of me. I saw a thing about a 15-year-old girl who was in a trial, and she's paralyzed from the waist down now. But you don't hear about any of that stuff. They're not letting anybody know about it.
Yeah.
Scary. I don't know.
Yeah, that's going to. So it's going to open us up to the real DNA thing. They're going to say we've proven and tested this, and then it's going to open the door for, you know, instead of something they're going to try to sneak up on us, it's going to be something they're going to say, man, this is awesome. You're going to want it because some of the world leaders are taking it. Look what it's doing for them. They're coming back to life because they've, you know, had all these things going on with them. Yeah, so it's going to be a thing that it's not going to be hidden. It's not going to be under the covers. They're going to say, and people are going to be begging for it because it's going to be such an awesome answer to world peace and to world health, the whole thing, provision for the world. And so it's going to be very, very enticing. It's not going to be something that Christians are going to be like having to fight it because they're going to be going, okay, do I keep the DNA of Christ or do I get the DNA of the beast? That's basically what it is.
You know, it sounds, what's coming to me is that the Eucharist communion is going to be the only salvation because it will be the blood of Christ. And, you know, that was one of the most horrible things about this COVID thing when they stopped allowing people to go to church.
Right. Yes. I think the communion thing, I don't know about, you use Catholic language on that Eucharist. I'm not even know really what
Eucharist
what that
is
exactly. But
it's the blessed host. You know, you've got your piece of bread, and once it's consecrated and blessed, they call it the Eucharist. It's just the term.
Okay. So yeah, okay. The Eucharist is only done by the priest, though, right? I mean, what level of priesthood does that? Anybody who's a priest, or just certain priests, or what?
A Catholic priest.
Okay, so they can be any Catholic priest. They don't have to be like in the high ups or.
Catholic priest. And
they pray over it, and then it becomes then that's when it becomes the body and the blood of Jesus when they pray over it. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And only when they pray over it. Other than that, it's called spiritual communion.
It's just, I don't know. It's not, we don't take it any other way. Okay, if we are doing it at home, a spiritual communion would be yes. But we don't have to eat bread or drink wine. It's just a prayer. We don't have to. And we just do that at home. You know, if you can't go to church.
So you're talking about spiritual. So you're not even talking about actually eating bread and drinking the cup. Okay, I didn't know that.
Right.
I didn't know what that was, spiritual communion. Okay, now I understand what spiritual communion is. Okay, I'm learning stuff tonight. I don't know how Catholics do things. I have you to tell me. You're my only Catholic friend that I have on the show that I know of. So it's pretty interesting to find out. All right, very cool. All right, I'm going to move on to another caller, it looks like. So, let's pray for you. I don't think we've prayed for you yet. I'm going to mute you just for a second. Let's pray for you. Thank you, Jesus, for sharing tonight, God. We thank you for blessing her. I think I already did prayer with you, actually. But blessing her, holding her up, God, by your strength of your hand, giving her wisdom, God, and compassion. Thank you for her being a part of PGN. She can fill us in on what Catholics believe in, because I don't have a clue, very little. And so thank you for that, and we bless her for that, God, and open her up to your truth by the Holy Spirit, whether it's comes to whoever. And we thank you, Lord, for that, and you're opening her up to that. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. All right. Well, we lost several callers, so we only have like a few callers left here. So if you want to talk tonight, raise your hand up, get your hand up, and we'll talk to you. I think most everybody's hung up because we had that issue earlier. So if you want to talk tonight, get your hand up there, and we'll talk to you for a second. All right, let's go there and talk to, I think, Cheryl from Florida. You're on tonight. Cool. All right, are you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Just make sure and take me on speakerphone and all that.
All right.
I can hear you moving around, so.
No, I can't hear you. Glory.
All right, let's pray for you, and then we'll talk a little. And then we'll take the other callers, see what's going on tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for your people tonight. God, we thank you for opening up those divine appointments. Father, where you're setting the church in order, you're showing us what to do, and we're just going to follow you and do it. We thank you, Lord, for opening that up and shutting doors, opening up doors and shutting doors. When God opens up a door, no man can shut it. When God shuts the door, no man can open it. So all those doors that we keep trying to open up that that God is shut, you're just going to show us, hey, I shut that door to keep you, to protect you, to keep that, you know, the reason I did that, I opened up doors that no man can open and no man can shut. So, you know, the Lord says, like, I'm teaching my people how to know the difference between an open door from God and an open door from human beings. No man can shut that door when it's God, and no man can open the door except the Lord. So thank you, Lord, for opening her up to that and teaching her, training her how to, you know, hear from you and know from you about what open doors, and when God closes the door, that door's closed, whatever that level is of closing the door. When you shut it, it's shut, and no man can open it, much less us open it. So I thank you, Jesus, for that. And, yeah, so amen. Opening doors, yeah, so, wow. All right, so what's going on tonight?
So I guess you didn't get my message.
No, I don't guess I did.
Okay. So, anyway, my brother just called in. Yeah, but you don't ever get him, so you've got me somewhere off. I guess that's a door that's shut.
I think you send me email. I think I got an email from you recently about some song, or you sent some song about holy water or something.
No, Randy. Anyway, my brother is just in need of prayer. They took out his bladder and they gave him a colonoscopy bag. And he's now without a bladder, without a prostate, and a colonoscopy bag. And they've been pumping morphine in him since the surgery. And I think he would have been okay if they hadn't have allowed him access to the morphine button. So every 10 minutes, he was punching that morphine button. And so at this point, they put him on Dilaudid, and then last night they gave him something that took him over the edge. He's not eaten in 11 days. And,
Wow. So they gave him access. They gave a guy who's in pain access to the morphine button, and he can give himself morphine anytime he wants to. That's crazy.
Every 10 minutes he could push the morphine button. And I'm not even saying that's what took him over. Something they gave him, they put him on Dilaudid after that, and then they gave him sleep medication. And my nephew said that, well, he's so jittery, he'll sleep for a minute, and then he's jittery, and then he's talking out of his head, and then he's back, and then he's jittery, and he sleeps, and sometimes it feels like he's sleeping with his eyes open. And so he's just, something's happened to him, I don't know, I don't even know. But they are trying to drain all the meds off of him now, and they're giving him sugar water, and it's just a mess. It's just a mess.
Well,
so they're trying
to
get it all cleaned out of his system to start over. And
yeah.
I left him up there tonight, but I didn't want to leave him. But I got Dad here. And I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just sorry to hear that. That's really sad. Well, maybe when they get him off all the drugs and stuff, it'll help.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I guess if you could just pray for him. And, like, I sent messages about Dad and stuff, but I just need some prayer, that's all. I'm listening to what you're saying about Israel, and I'll... Tonight I listened on and off, but that, you know, remember that scripture in Zechariah where the Lord says, "I'll be a wall of fire around Jerusalem and the glory within us."
Listen.
Yeah.
From the, okay, listen. Listen from the dome. The dome is around, and I'm not trying to fit descriptions for that, but I'm just saying, you know, they're shooting those missiles down. People said, I've never seen anything like it. How Israel technology, they can shoot those missiles down that's coming their way.
Right.
Like bad boys. I'm thinking, that's part of the wall of fire. Jesus.
Yeah.
The dome,
yep. Okay.
About it is round.
Right. All right. Interesting. Yeah, something's going on with all that. Let's pray for your brother. I'm going to mute you, and then we're going to. It's just we're having issues now with our audio. I don't know what's going on with it, but anyway, thank you, Lord, for what's going on with her brother. God, for sure, brother. We thank you, Jesus, for. Maybe that has to do with the word about opening a door and shutting doors, open doors that no man can open and shutting doors no man can shut, or no man can open. You know, when you shut a door, no man can open it. When you open a door, no man can close it. I don't know. Maybe there's some doors going to be shut in a lot of different things with Israel, with, you know, people and things that are going on. And I don't know. I mean, I don't even know what that means exactly, but it could have something to do with what's happening all around us. So there's new doors being opened up that no man can shut. People are going to try, no, shut that door. You know, like in the political arena, get Trump back in there. Shut that. When that door's shut, that door's shut. And people don't realize that. That when God opens up a door and lets, you know, somebody like Biden in and that whole thing, and God opens up that door, no man can shut that door. You can try. Can fight, can re-vote, you can recount, you can do all kinds of things. It's not going to make any difference. When God gets ready to open up a door, no man can shut it. When God ready to shut doors, no man can open it. No matter how hard they pry with their prayers, pry it open. Let's pry that thing open. You can't do it. You just can't do it. And so whatever that has to do with, I don't know, but I thank you, Jesus, for securing that in our souls and our spirit, man. Let us know what it is you love about us, what it is that you don't like about us, and help us change it, God. Through your process of being washed in your blood and cleansed and changed by your word, Jesus, through the cross of Calvary. And we thank you, Jesus, for that, for her brother, God, that all the things they're doing with the drugs and the meds and all the things, we thank you, Lord, to just cleanse and wash him. And God, let this whole thing be a thing that causes him to, opens him up to the glory of God. And the cry of his heart, that you answer the cry of his heart, God, that you save him, you deliver him in Jesus' name. And let the world know that you are on the throne and you are, you know, you're going to bless people and let them know that, you know, you're alive and well. And those who obey your voice are going to be used greatly. In Jesus' name. So we thank you, God, for that. And you're going to open up doors. See, I just got this myself. Cheryl, as I'm praying over you, I've gotten this thing that God's showing me even more so, that when God opened up a door for the Biden thing to come in and the one world system thing to start, you know, processing, we can't shut that door. God opens up a door and it allows something to happen because his purposes are being developed. And he shuts doors on people like whatever went on with Trump. I don't know why, but God just exactly all the reason why, but he shut the door on that for a reason. And so thank you, Jesus, for that. We just bless you and thank you, Lord. We thank you for opening up the river of life and pouring in life, God. Give us a new life. Give us, we're going to be sad when doors shut. We were sad when Trump was taken out. That was a sad time. We had hopes for things and different things and, you know, but when you shut a door, we learn, those who have learned to be yielded to you and listen to you, you just show us how to move on. You show us how to accept, like Jesus did, this is the will of God somehow or another, even though it doesn't make sense. You're going to bless, and you're going to raise up, and you're going to change things that we have nothing to do. We can't change them if we tried. Only you can change them, God. And so I thank you, Jesus, for that, and opening up Cheryl to that dimension of the Spirit, God, where you open up doors that no man can shut and shut doors that no man can open, and that can't be controlled by people. Not going to be controlled by people. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go here to 831-596. Can I talk to you real fun? Oh, let's see. I don't think you had your hand up.
Hello?
Yes, 831. I think I clicked on you. You didn't have your hand up. But who am I talking to here?
This is Noelle in California, and I had just, I'm not kidding you, I didn't have my hand up, and I was in the kitchen, and I just shoved a bunch of grapes in my mouth.
Oh, grapes. The grapes. What is it talking about? The grapes of the wrath of God. He's going to take out the devil.
Well, you know, I'm in Salinas, which is John Steinbeck, a country, and he wrote The Grapes of Wrath. So that's kind of all goes in.
Oh, you're kidding me.
It's all. He lived here, grew up here, and lots of history in his books. If you read any of his books, he calls out streets and, you know, geographical things that, you know, are sort of touristy now. People have interest. But, yeah, you had a problem earlier on. I'm sorry that you had those issues. That was a struggle.
It was. It was. And we lost a lot of our callers tonight because they just – I guess he's having a bad show tonight. I can't get on. But, yeah, so we just kind of – I've learned to deal with that. But I think that's really ended up being my phone. I finally realized that – so I unplugged my phone from my earpiece, and all of a sudden I could hear. So the whole time the stupid thing was me, you know, which was kind of heartbreaking.
I'm sorry that you had to go through all that. That was a struggle, I know. I could tell.
Yeah, yeah, especially when you're wanting to, you know, flow and minister people and pray for people and that kind of thing. So we love
and
doing that.
And there's nothing like live on the air and having a technical issue to, like, just kind of find out if your deodorant works, right?
Right, yeah, and then finding out what problem is. Usually you blame it on the computer, blame it on something. I never thought about it being my phone. It never even entered my mind at all. So it was the grace of God that we made it through that. So I guess I'm going to have to go down and buy me a new earpiece system. So praise God. Yeah, you know, I think that word about you putting grapes in your mouth, and then I clicked on you and you didn't have your hand up and caught you with grapes in your mouth, and I said something about the wrath of God, that, you know, because it talks about in the Bible that, you know, the God treads the grapes of wrath or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said you live in Salinas. I mean, look at that, just that one moment, what happened right there. Just that was amazing.
That is really grapes, because you went to Grapes of Wrath, and here I am. I mean, you know, John Steinbeck's Grapes of Wrath and all that. I mean, it's a big touristy here, you know. And I didn't just have a few grapes in my mouth. I had literally washed them off, and I was going to head back to my bedroom. And I thought, well, why carry them when you can just stuff them in your mouth like a hog?
Yeah. That way you can have your hands free to answer your phone in case Randy calls on you.
I hear 831. Are you there?
Yeah.
It's like Lucille Ball on I Love Lucy with the Chocolate Factory scene with her.
Oh, yeah. I love that. I love that. I used to watch I Love Lucy, I think, all my life when I was a kid. My mom loved to watch her, too, so.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, the chocolate thing. She was on the chocolate factory, and all the chocolate came down, and she just started putting them in her mouth and eating them.
That was a cute episode. That was classic. But, you know, I've been, you know, listening to the stuff, and I was listening, you know, when you're talking about this, the Antichrist, you know? And
yeah.
It's so scary, Randy, because
it's
so, you know, like right now, I mean, just with masks, right? look it, we have to have masks. We can't go buy, at least not where I'm at, you can't go in and buy a loaf of bread unless you have a mask on, right? You can't get gas unless you have a mask on.
Right.
I mean, they're really crazy out here with it. I mean, really. But so
right.
You can imagine, like, listen, it's good for you, and you don't have to go through that hassle like your family's doing, right? You know, I mean, this is healthy. You get to keep your business open. You know, I mean, you can just, after this mask thing, you know, you can just see how people would go there, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's frightening. I mean, and, you know, all of us, you know, all of our lives, you know, we've heard, you know, about the end times. I mean, I never thought, you know, when they talk about the end times, it seemed impossible. And, of course, every generation talks about the end times, and so you think, oh, yeah, the end times.
Sure.
The end times. And,
exactly.
You know, I never in my wildest dreams thought, well, how could they keep you from commerce? You know, what is this market to be? Surely everybody would rebel, right? And we just saw a year of people, you know, I mean, I wear a mask too at times, you know, I'm not anybody, whatever you do. You
yeah.
Know, you
I do
know, whatever. Right. And, but look at how easily everybody complied so that they could even get some toilet paper, you know? So, and I never thought in my whole life I'd ever see that. So it's really, it's scary, especially when it's packaged with the promise of health benefits, like so many things, you know?
No. Yeah, yeah, and I think one of the things Biden's doing is he's, you know, I think he's going to be, it looks like he's going to be passing up the money a lot, and they're battling right now over that he's paying people more money than they would if they went to work, so where they want to go to work for. I don't know how true all that is exactly, whether it's, you know, just political, but
well,
I think that's
have,
I think that's pretty well what they're going to do.
Right now, Randy, with I think it goes without saying that, you know, there's people that have needed help. You know, we both know that. And we don't want people, you know, hurting or suffering. But what they did was they pretty much, and there's people that pay their rent, you know, but there's a bunch that aren't. And they're told you don't have to pay your rent and it's okay. You know, you're not going to get evicted. And they've actually taken property rights from people, in my opinion. You know, I mean, it's, they should have done a better job with landlords. So they don't have rent to pay, a lot of them, and they're making, so they have this disposable income that's higher, you know. So they're getting benefits, and then they don't have rent that they're paying. They're not paying the rent, and they're not being evicted. And so they have, their disposable income is higher. So
yeah.
It's created sort of this thing that it's like a, you know, I hear people talk about universal checks, and they're doing that in some towns here in California where, you know, everybody gets a check for XYZ that you're talking about it, you know, so that everybody sort of has the same. You know, I mean, this is like socialism almost, you know. I mean, it's just right there. It's
yeah.
There was a McDonald's in Florida. I heard on the news that was paying people $50 to come in and do an interview because they couldn't get anybody to come in.
Wow. I think I heard about that, yeah. I know. It's getting it's just too many things coming together at the same time that's kind of telling us where we are. And the fact that, you know, of course, I always go back to the political thing in the 1134 number that I got about how Biden got in and how that happened and Trump was out, which shocked everybody, you know,
Every time
all of a sudden, yeah, we got this guy can't even hardly, you know, can't really communicate very well. Not that that matters that much anyway, but, you know, but still they sold, the Republicans sold him as, you know, there's no way this guy could ever do anything. We're going to win big time. And then all
right.
of a sudden it totally was the other way around. And it's like, however they did it, we don't know. But the fact that all that happened tells you something is going on.
Well, I want you to know that every time you said you heard that God speak, you know, say Joseph Biden and that Trump's not going to win during that time period, I mean, I was like, Lord, no. No.
Yeah. I rebuke him.
I know. Randy, what are you saying? I mean,
what's wrong with you?
A lot of us, you know. I mean, it was really, I mean, a lot of us, even after Biden went into office, I mean, there was a lot of us still with sort of a glazed over look on our face, like, this isn't happening. You know, how did this happen?
I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. Nobody could. I couldn't. I mean, I was having trouble believing it. Had I not been hearing about Biden for years and just waiting for him to fill his role, not knowing exactly what it's going to be, because the only thing he ever did was run for president, you know, other than being in Congress or whatever. So I'm thinking, it because God shouted his name to me, he has to fit in, but where's it going to be? And he's getting so old, how can he fit into anything? It's like it was so almost unbelievable that it happened, that proved the point that
he never
it's a sign.
To go campaigning in any sense, really, you know? And it's like, it's almost like it was just going to be, you know? I mean, you know, you see,
right.
You know, filling stadiums and people, you know, and this older guy that nobody even, I mean, he didn't go on a campaign trail. He just, nothing. It really,
yeah.
It was almost like two, I think that there's a lot of Democrats that regret their vote. But it was such a, I think that, you know, a lot of them hated Trump more than, you know, I think it was like two sports teams, you know, I mean, it was, you know, instead of like issues, and instead of really picking a person and picking, you know, a way, I think a lot of people just were really frenzied into winning, their party winning, you know, and
yeah.
Instead of the man. But, you know, it is what it is today, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's just yeah. Yeah, so there's this. I'm getting some text when you were talking there. Yeah, I think that it's like, well, I just gave a word to Cheryl from Florida, and I'm sitting there hearing myself say about God opening doors that no man can shut and shutting doors that no man can open, and I never even applied that to what just happened, and that's what that looks like. It's like,
right.
You know, doors were, you know, God opened up a door for that, and it happened. It's like nobody could shut it. Nobody could mess with it. It's like, you know, it's like mind-boggling. So all those things we're talking about with the way it happened, the fact that it, personally with me, when God gave me the number 1134 twice in the same day with two different business things, a canceled check for rent because we no longer had a building. We were. You know, they rented it out because I didn't sign a contract. And then the fact that I went to the U-Haul place and they gave me that number. I mean, that all happened in the same day. I was like going, I didn't even know what it meant. I just thought it was a sign that I had messed up. You know, 1134, Lord, you didn't mess up by not signing the contract. Right? Somehow, that's what I interpreted as I talked about it on the show. That's how I interpreted that whole thing. And then all of a sudden I realized one day, Noel, I go, oh, my God, 11-3, that's the election. And then when nobody was voted in, then I said on the show, I said, well, if four means anything, 1134, then we'll know something. We may know something here in a few days on the 7th. And sure enough, when that happened, on the inside of me, something exploded and everything changed with me right then about all this. Then I knew Trump was not going to win anything anymore and said it on the show. He's not going to win any of his lawsuits, nothing. Nothing's going to happen. You know how hard that would have been to say in the national, because he looked like he was going to lose a lot of things and didn't lose them. You know,
right.
And then so oh, it
yeah,
was
we,
just
we,
unbelievable.
We kind of call that the Trump effect. You know, it's like anybody that came for him, it's like not seriously, but it always seemed like they got, you know, they got their comeuppance in some other way. You know, and it seemed like that with him for a long time, even though he had so many against him, you know, so much to overcome constantly. It's a shame. It would have been nice to see what he could have. I mean, if he did the things he got done with all of those attacks, imagine if he hadn't been having to fight for his life just about for four years.
The whole time.
Gotten, you know?
Or... Look at it like this for a second. maybe that's the kind of person that he is. He needs controversy to get things done.
Well, that, you know, I mean,
maybe,
that was a lot of controversy. But, yeah.
It was a lot. It was a whole lot, yeah.
I think he's pretty scrappy, you know. But, man, I mean, even I couldn't, you know, like, I would try to follow some of the hearings sometimes or, you know, some of the political stuff. And, I mean, I just, I don't know how they, I don't know how, I mean, they must be cut from a different cloth because it's just, I mean, it would just tear me up for them, you know, listening to it, you know.
I know.
I know, but I just want you to know that I was one of those people. Every time you said, no, no, not Trump, I was like, no.
I rebuke you, my brother. We love you, but we rebuke you with love.
Praying for you.
Hey, I was Noel, I was rebuking myself. What are you talking about? I'm going, I can't believe I'm saying this stuff, man. If I hadn't heard from God, about if the 1134 hadn't happened the way it did, when I woke up and 1134 happened, and 4 days later, he was, you know, they said he was a president, even though I knew there was all that other controversy, I knew right then that everything God spoke about Joseph Biden was going to happen.
Oh, I wouldn't have wanted to give that message. I mean, because I know how you felt. It means like, you know, I mean, you like the guy, you know. And so to have to deliver a message that's not popular with a lot of people and there's a lot of controversy of that going on, and that was who you, I believe you said you voted for, then, I mean, you had to
yeah.
be like a,
oh, definitely.
But yeah, yeah, oh. Double dose.
I love Trump. I mean, I loved his. There's some things I didn't like about him as a servant of God, the way he, you know. But at the same time, when you just saw that that's just the way he was, you kind of enjoyed it, you know. Like he just kind of rants and raves, and every time he'd get on TV, you know, after doing his you know, filling stadiums up, he'd look at the cameras and said, "See these cameras back here? These people are a bunch of, you know." Every time he would do it, like two or three times, every time. I'm going like, okay, dude, we got the picture, baby. We got the picture. Settle down a little bit and get with the program. But that's just the way he was, and he was awesome at it. I love the way he came against the system, man. That's what thrilled me about him. I'd never seen anybody like that before. That was thrilling, I think, for everybody.
But when he first became president, you know, obviously there was some that really, 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 really wanted him in there, you know, and some that were like, you know, very disappointed. And so when he became president, I mean, I was trying to, like, console people that, you know, didn't vote for him, you know, like, you know, give him a chance, you know, he's got all these, you know, great, you know, ideas. And then all of a sudden I would be like, oh, no, he's tweeting again. Somebody hide his phone.
Somebody help him. He needs some help.
You know what? After a while, nothing he did pleased him. They were going to tear him down no matter what he did. They were going to call him racist. They
yeah.
were going to call him the devil. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there was nothing
yeah.
that man could do that they were going to let slide. So after a while, he got better, but I also got to the point where I thought, go for it. You know, just say it the way it is because nobody's going to, you know, people that don't like it, they're going to like you no matter what you say, right? They might as well just say the truth. You know, say it like it is and Trump.
Yeah. Get it done. And I think most people, I know I loved it. I'm kind of, I can be that way when God tells me something. I don't care what anybody says about it. If I know everybody's against me, I don't really care. When you know you got something, you enjoy it being different. I mean, it's like it's when it's God, you as a prophet, you get, it thrills you that you're giving something that very few people get. If you know you have it from God, if you don't have it from God, you're going to be in big trouble, you know, because
right.
it's not going to happen.
My gosh, there were so many people prophesying that, I mean, about Trump, then even that, you know, it wasn't over and that, you know, that it, like they'd give dates, you know, and all these things that never came to pass, you know. And I feel really bad
yeah.
for a lot of them because, you know.
Me too, yeah.
You know, a lot of them that have been, you know, pretty much crucified, you know, among peers and publicly because they did. And there's people that came out and apologized and they said they got it wrong, you know. And that was big of them to do that. You know, I mean, it would be very hard.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. But,
right.
You know, I think it just shows that as people, we can really, in our spirit, want something and, you know, and what we want and what God wants and what we're, you know, what we're following, you know, we can get it wrong, you know.
Yeah.
But I feel bad for them because I feel like a lot of them genuinely believed it,
yeah.
You know, they just didn't get it right, you know.
Oh,
and
they
know
just
that
precious people. They
yeah,
love God.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people that get very, you know, they want to, you know, kind of do the Salem witch thing and dunk them, you know, a few times. And you know, I don't think any of them. I don't know all of them, but I know that some of them really believe that, and they have good ministries, you know, and they're, you know, God-loving people, and they do, you know. So for me, you know, they got it wrong, just like I did. I really believe. I didn't see how he couldn't be, you know. I know.
Me too. Yeah. In the natural realm, and many times before the election, for months, I would say, well, you know, in the natural realm. If he keeps doing good with the finances, with the market being like it is, and you know, so you know, on some other things, I said he's going to be it. But then I would say after that, I would say, well, but you know, I'm hearing another voice, Joseph Biden, you know, and I would say that over and over again, and I don't think I was getting it completely, and other people were getting it because you know, but I was trying to say, you know, in the natural realm, I mean, Trump has got it in the natural realm, but I'm hearing something different, Joseph Biden. And when he actually got it, you know, I went into shock over it. I mean, I can't say that I went, oh yeah, I told you so. You know, in a sense, I was in shock over that it happened, that it actually happened. And so, you know, with me, it was like, you know, God had already been telling me all of it. He gave me the in the scenario in 2018, you know, that he gave me about Caligula. Caligula was Trump in the scenario, and Caligula was taken out. I talked about that in 2018, in 2019, and in 2020 several times, and used that example. I said Caligula in this scenario is Donald Trump. His wife's name was Melania.
Oh my gosh!
The emperor of Rome, huh?
I said, oh my gosh, I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't know that. Yeah, so, yeah, you didn't hear all that then. Yeah. If you can do research on it. It's really easy to find out. Just do Caligula and look at his wife. Even his wife's name is, I think his fourth wife or maybe third wife. I think it was his fourth wife. Was named Melania. Well, Trump's third wife is called Melania too. And then the personality that Caligula had was the same personality that Trump has. He made people mad. He got up. Caligula would get up there and mock his own people, mock his own senators, tell them they were donkeys, and you know, and compared them to his horse, and said, "My horse had more." You know, I mean, just publicly would ridicule them. And when I did all that research and I saw that, and God said, "This is Trump," and after 3 years and 10 months, they killed Caligula, and I said, "This is going to happen to Trump somehow or another." Yeah, I gave all that information.
Wow.
Noel, yeah, all that was given in 2018 in October, November, December, and then I gave it, you know, 2019, 2020. Yeah, over and over again. And people just, they weren't, you know, like Andrea, who's a big prayer warrior over certain things, I said, Andrea, get ready because they're going to put up a bigger fight than people think. Everybody thinks Trump's just going to get it because he's so amazing, you know, so whatever. But get ready because they're going to rise up and do things just like in the Caligula scenario. The Senate just rose up and decided to get rid of him. And that's exactly what happened. I said, this is the same thing that's going to happen if we don't pray. And it's exactly what happened.
Well, you know, it's amazing what is happening with censorship. It's amazing people's rights. You know, whether it's free speech or whatever, it's just, we do have to pray for our country. And we do need to pray for our country. You know, for the last couple of years, my mom was so sick, you know, and so, you know, a lot of times I'd be there at night, so I wouldn't get to you know, catch your shows on the 2 weeks. I'm sure I missed it, but I don't know. I just believe so strongly that Trump was, you know, I'm not sure I would have made the connection like that. You know, I might have thought,
sure.
Oh, well, you know, maybe it means, you know, something
symbolic or something. Yeah.
Yeah. It would have been so hard for me to have connected anything prior to him losing with him losing.
I know. Yeah. That's why I'm saying, you know, that I rebuked myself, because I'm going like, I can't believe, you know. And like I said, I started giving that information. God gave me a dream in 2018, in October of 2018. And the interpretation ended up being what I just said about Caligula being the Roman emperor, and how that they, you know, the people hated him so bad that they took his history, like even some of the documentaries, when you hear them saying this, they said, we don't even believe some of this stuff because these people hated him. Is that not Donald J. Trump or what? I mean, the whole thing, how they tried to mar his reputation and make him worse than he already was. He already had, because he was a Roman. Romans don't believe in anything but, you know, lust and sex and ruling the world and doing whatever they want to do. You know, that's what they believed in. So for them to be like that was like, that was normal. But for the United States, you know, so that'd be a whole different thing. So I said, you know, so this whole thing is about, you know, this is a type and shadow of what's going to happen if we don't pray. And I've talked about it many, many times and warned people, you know, this is going to be harder than we think. And Andrea from Nebraska, I would tell her about it many times because she, you know, I just would, for some reason, she was really into Trump. No, Trump's going to make it. Trump's going to, you know, we got to pray for Trump. And so I'm going like, well, okay, but, you know, it's not going to be like you think. It's going to be much more difficult. And I don't think anybody believed that it was really going to be that big of a battle.
And, you know, it was a battle, and it was a battle that, you know, I mean, I believe it was stolen, you know. I believe there was,
yeah.
You know, I don't know whether, you know, whether it was other countries interfering, you know, or what, but I believe that happened. But it happened, you know. It is, and he's our president.
yeah, exactly. You
know? Well, and I don't know.
And if you listen, if you go back and listen to the scenario I gave about Caligula, in the Caligula scenario that we gave, I said, you know, many times that what happened is once they killed Caligula, the what they found out was that the people loved Caligula. So they rose up and fought them because they knew what they did was wrong. Just exactly what's happening right now. Exactly. It was too late. The problem was, the Lord kept showing me, and I said this many times over the last 2 years, that the problem was, it's too late. What had happened? They took him out. I didn't know. I thought they might literally physically kill him. I didn't know what was going to happen because in the real Caligula scenario, they killed him. And that's what they rose up and they took over, and they decided they knew what was best for Rome. I said, this is going to be exactly what's going to happen. You go back and listen to it. You get a chance to go back and listen to it. I try to find those and send them to you so you can hear them. This was all given 2 years in advance.
See, I would, you know, 2 years ago, I would not have believed that. I I'm not saying I would.
We love you, Randy, but you're out of here.
No,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I would have thought, well, there's still time, there's still a way, right? You know, and
which
is what I thought, you know, I mean, even past election, probably, you know, truthfully. But, I mean, and out is out, right? You know, president is president. I mean, there's just no in between there, is there?
Yeah.
You're either the president of the United States today or you are not.
That's how,
but you know, you made that comment about the stock market, you know, and you know, with Trump and, you know, I mean, it's still, you know, going up. And truthfully, Randy, even when Trump was in office, I mean, I was happy to see him get accolades for something, or at least he took them anyway. But, you know, during the you know, I mean, my concern, I mean, the stock market is not the economy. You know, it's like two different, you know, I mean, it's not the same thing. And I really believe, I'm not an economist, but I believe it's inflation. I believe that it's inflation and that people are putting their monies in things, you know, because the banks don't pay anything, that go up. But, you know, I mean, it's scary. It really is to me. I'm not a prop, and I'm not an economist, but I feel like we're in I feel like we've printed our currency. We debased from gold in the 70s with Nixon, and that made it what's called a fiat currency. And I think the longest, I don't think any fiat currency lasted more than, I think, 40 years or something. And so we're like into the, like, past the twilight of that. It's scary, you know, but like you said, you know, our provision, our God, you know, what we see to do. I know there's things for my online shop, you know, like supplies and stuff. Like I'll go to order, you know, to refill something, and I might not have bought it, you know, since last year. And it's, you know, 30% more, you know, things like that. So I'm kind of looking at things like anything to run my business. As far as supplies, you know, anything I know I'm going to need, you know, because it's not just the price, but also, too, the ability to get it. I worry about the supply chain. I worry about, like, what we went through with the toilet paper and that, you know. We could have some of that. So I just think it's wise to, you know, have for our households things that, you know, and for our businesses, if we, you know, ink cartridges, copy, things that we keep us rolling. And if there's a disruption in something, you know, it's things we're going to use anyway. I just think it's prudent right now. I'm really concerned. You know?
Yeah.
And
the
market.
Well, I'm sure God will speak to me. He always speaks to me about the market every time it does a major thing. Anytime it's ever done a major thing since 2007. He gave me the 2008 crash a year before it happened. Told me with that was going to happen in the third quarter, about in July before it did happen. And he spoke to me about every major change and then a lot of in things in between. So I think he's going to, you know, show me. And I had people, stock market people that call me, you know, a few months ago, especially when things started looking rocky again. They call me and say, what's going on? I said, well, nothing yet. You know, I'm not getting anything. God's not telling me anything about it. And when we went down in, what was it, in March, when the market went down, the back where it was with Obama, God gave me the word just the day before it happened. I mean, you know, 2-3 days before it happened, I gave the very word on PGN, said, you know, there's going to be a head-on collision in the market. Happened the next day. Went on for 30 days, and the market crashed, did a head-on collision, just exactly what God showed me. I didn't have numbers. I didn't know where it was going to go. But a head-on collision is not like, you know, I mean, it was, but I said it's going to recover because it's not as bad as it looks. COVID is making it look a lot worse than it is. And so sure enough, you know, the day that it all turned around, the day before it did, God told me, he said, tell him, when Trump came out with hexachlorophene, what's it called?
Hydrochloric.
When he came out with that message on the news that night, I came to the show, did the show that night. I said, you know what? Everything's going to turn around. And sure enough, the next day, the market went up historically for 3 days.
Wow.
And so God has always shown me, you know, that when things are going to turn around. But, you know, people don't listen to the show every day, every night, and I never know when I'm going to get words, so I can't tell them, listen tonight because I'm going to tell you what the market's going to do. So it's like... So what they do, Noel, is they, my market friends, every time there's a problem, they think there's a problem, a real problem, they call me up. I mean, these are wealthy people. These are people, these are people who, you know, are in the market for, it's their life. And they call me, somebody who knows nothing about it, because they know that over the years, like when the market crashed in 2008, told them it was going to happen, and they told me it wasn't going to happen. They said, you don't know nothing about it. I said, I know, but God told me. We don't believe that. I mean, the big dog told me. I was on a boat with him fishing after in Florida. We were out there fishing after we went to just anointed poured oil on my country's head, you know. And so we went fishing the next day, and I told him, I said, it's going to happen. The market's going to have a major crash. No, it's not, Randy. It's not. I said, yeah, it is. I didn't argue with him. I got off the boat. We went and all ate our fish. And 2 years later, he's apologizing to me. He said, I'm sorry I didn't listen to you. It's okay. I wouldn't have listened either, probably. So, so when God speaks, you know, I have a reputation. God has blessed me with a reputation of being an ignorant person in the market, and yet God's speaking to me about major issues that have gone on. This is known. I know people around the world in the financial arena know about this.
Well, you know,
when
you talk about God providing and you know, like, you know, the end times and, you know, sort of are sourced, right? You know, I mean, this is the way God can save his people too, is by giving a prophet word on, hey, this is, you know, it's time to do, you know, maybe you should consider this, right? You know, I'm thinking,
yeah.
You know, like, they're like, God said that, you know, that we need to prepare more, or you know, God, mm-hmm. you know how the kingdom of God can be blessed and how we can be saved from things happening around us to not experiencing the brunt, you know.
Yeah, but think about it like this. This is what usually happens. You gave a good example of it. And that, so we're talking about this. The good example you used, you said, Randy, if I'd have heard you talking about Caligula and saying this is Trump, after 3 years and 10 months, which is exactly when he was taken out, Caligula was taken out, and when Trump was taken out, 3 years and 10 months, just about almost exactly 3 years and 10 months, and I gave that scenario over and over and over again, you said, just like most people go, you know, I can't hardly believe that. See, this is exactly when prophets get words, most of the time when you get a word, just like when I give that guy the word about the market, I said, it's going to crash. The market is going to have a major crash. He says, no, it's not. Because people don't, they don't believe you. It's really weird. I don't understand why God does that.
Well,
because the people have a hard time believing it because the circumstances aren't where they can believe it. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
Well, we're talking about it in hindsight, right? And I'm telling you, after it's come to pass, and I didn't know it beforehand, right? So after it's come to pass, I'm able to honestly say I don't know that I don't know.
Well, me too. Listen, I would have been, and that's what I tell people all the time. I said if God hadn't showed me things, I wouldn't have believed it either. I mean, really honest. You know, it's hard to believe that when you're telling somebody when the market's really up and doing good and that's your life and you know everything about it and you got some idiot over here who doesn't know anything about it telling you it's going to crash. You know, who's going to believe that? Nobody.
Okay.
And it's just part of the price you pay as being a servant of God. And at least God says, well, I tried to tell you. That's kind of the way God does it. Like, I used you, Randy, to just say, well, I did try to tell you.
Well, and it's
so
not like there's
kind of
glory.
Not exactly
for you.
A glorious
that's,
life.
That's, you know, that's a hard message. You know, all of those messages, depending upon who you're giving them to, you know, would be. I mean, you're giving the message, and you're happy to give the message because God, you know, spoke to you and gives it to you. But you know, opening your mouth and knowing they're not going to believe. You know, like this guy on the fishing boat. You know, isn't going to believe me, but I'm going to say it anyway because God told me.
The Lord told me to tell him, exactly. I'm sitting there. I wasn't going to tell nobody. I mean, you know, I knew these guys. I prophesied to them, you know, in some meetings, and they connected to me because the Lord read their mail in a meeting that I came to that I used to go to my church I used to go to. So they connected. They believe you as when you prophesy with them personally about things. But when it comes to their business and to their world, it's and I understand. It's extremely difficult to go – now, you're saying that my whole business is going to – I mean, they lost millions and millions of dollars. They got it all back because when the market came back, they held on. But he called me up, and God is my witness to Christ all night. This guy calls me up I talked to him in a meeting, and he came to me. He said, Randy, he said, I just want to apologize to you that I didn't listen to you. I said, well, I understand. I can't say his name because I get in trouble. But I understand, sir, because, you know, I might not have believed it either. Nobody's blaming you. It's just too bad that it can't work differently than that, you know.
Right. I mean, you know, and you know, that's the thing about a word from God and what we're seeing in the natural, you know. And that's why a word from God is so important, because we need it, because all we've got a lot of times is what we're seeing in the natural, and it's not the way it is,
yeah.
You know, obviously, you
yeah.
know, it's much easier to believe the good things.
Yeah, that's what we want to believe, and me too, and I wanted to believe that Trump was going to make it. That was my belief. That's what I hoped for.
Yeah.
Like I said, I have to stand before people and say, in Christ I lie not. I voted for him twice because they don't even believe me. Most people think that because I gave them information, they thought, oh, you're a Democrat under the covers. I said, listen, in Christ I lie not. I am I'm a full-fledged Republican conservative. I voted for Donald Trump both times because he believed in his abortion belief and his, with Israel. That was enough for me.
Yeah. 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 I know. I mean, that's why, like, that had to be a really hard message in a lot of ways to deliver, because number one, even as you were delivering it, you were still saying, you know, the reasons you liked Trump, which was probably annoying the people that didn't, right? And then the people that
yeah.
did like Trump were like, where are you going with this?
Yeah, well, they just think that you're trying to be different and difficult. Prophets tend to be difficult and share everything the opposite of everybody else. And so sometimes they think when you're trying to build your ministry, you're just trying to be different. You're just trying to be different, Chandler. That's why you talk about merchandising, because you're just trying to be different. I said, well, I wish that was the case, because I lost a lot of my friends when I started talking about it publicly, because they know I'm a prophet. They know I'm not a well-known evangelist. I'm not a well-known pastor. I'm a prophet who gives words, who gets ostracized because of the words that I give. And yet, I don't give them because I'm bold and strong and really spiritual. I give them because God convinces me. And then I go out there and give it because he convinced me of it. That's the only reason I do it. It's not because I'm spiritual and an awesome prophet. It's not that at all. It's the fact that he convinces me supernaturally. So what can you do? I'm not going to tell him that, God. Are you kidding me?
But, you know, also, too, it's also good for us. You know, it sort of massages our heart in terms of giving and how to give, you know, and that it can look different, you know. But, you know, Randy, I can remember when I was, oh, my gosh, it was like 11 years ago, 12 years ago. And I was sort of like, I mean, my story would bring tears to a glass eye, you know. I mean, it was just like, oh. I was in the middle of it, and so many responsibilities, and so broke. I mean, the real estate crisis hit. Nothing was selling. I was, you know, I'm not going to go into all that. I'm blessed, you know, but it was a horrible time. And I can remember hearing preachers talk, right, and to, you know, unlock the, you know, the gifts from heaven, and you know,
I'm,
all these things. Oh, I needed this, right? I mean, I'm dying here, or I felt like it. You know, I need that. But I didn't have the $39.99 plus shipping to get the answer, you know.
You get the book and to get the answer to everything.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, I mean,
yeah.
And so it was almost like the sermon was a commercial to get the answer, and you have to get the TV set, you know. And I don't begrudge that either. I really don't, because I think there's a place for it. But I also think it should be, I think that you ought to, if you get blessed by it, give, you know what I'm saying? And if you can't give today, give tomorrow, because you got blessed yesterday, you know?
Yeah,
it's more along the lines of the merchandising thing that, you know, and how you presented it. I mean, I agree with that, you know? And I also feel like, you know, that the church has a problem with feeling like, you know, like preachers and pastors and everybody that, you know, says they're in it for God needs to be broke, and that, I don't agree with that. You know, it's almost, you know, I mean, I just feel like the whole money thing just sort of throws everything off with everybody, you know. And you know, so I know there's a lot of wealthy creatures that, you know, are successful authors, you know, and they're, you know, and they do that. And I think that's really great. But for, as somebody who at the lowest point in their life, and even heaven was like 10, you know, I mean, it's like my prayers that God, I went through a period so long. I mean, I just felt abandoned by God, even though I knew and consciously I wasn't, but like he wasn't hearing one prayer, nothing, you know?
Yeah.
And so
exactly.
when somebody would sell their CD set, you know, I mean, that had my answer and I couldn't buy it.
Yeah. Yeah, it probably didn't have the answer anyway, but they sure
exactly.
make it look good on.
Yeah, and I have better resources now. I mean, in a lot of ways. I mean, and you for sure. But you know, I mean, as far as I mean, there's things I would do differently today than I would have done back then. You know, but you know,
yeah.
back then that's how I felt. You know, and I thought, well, if only I could, I would. Maybe that would be my answer.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that would be my where I could put my faith,
yeah.
or you know. So, and that kind of falls kind of into the merchandising thing, you know, because really if you know what, you know, how to unlock the, you know, the gifts in heaven that God has for you, whatever the name of your CD is, you know, then tell somebody.
Yeah.
Say it.
Yeah, I think the minute that they sell it, my personal opinion and my prophetic opinion is that the anointing goes right off of it. It'd be good information, but they're not going to get it because they had to purchase it. And when you're a faithful ministry person, we don't sell things. We give things. And
yeah.
if our ministry is really good, people are going to give and take care of it. We don't have to sell it. So to me, I've literally had some of these well-known people, if I mention their names, you might know who they are. They literally told me, they said, Randy, the reason we do it is because we can't trust the people to pay for it. They're not going to give. We have to sell it because they're not going to give. I'm going like, okay, I understand that in a business flow, I understand that as a business, but we're not a business. You know, if whatever what you have is good and of God, and it's going to touch people and change their life and be the answer to them, like you said, if I sent that to you for free and you got the answer, you know what you're going to be doing? I think most people are going to be doing, they're going to be going like, man, I'm going to help this person for the rest of my life because of how he unlocked my life. That's the way I see it. And because they don't do it like that, therefore they don't get unlocked. And then the people don't ever do anything willingly because they had to buy the stuff. And buying it is what takes the money. And I have a testimony behind that that I have never shared before in the market arena. When I started getting market information, when it started turning about being about money, you know, and instead of the right things, God took the anointing off of it. Noel, just like that. And I mean, I'm getting words about individual companies, not just big words, but individual companies. I'm telling people information, giving them months and days. I don't even know what I'm talking about. That was flowing like a river. I have documented proof of what I'm telling. I mean, the people actually said, Randy, you don't even know what you're saying. You just gave me, you know, you don't know that this thing comes to fruition or whatever they call it on 9/23. You just gave me that date. I said, I'm sitting there right here looking at this, and that's exactly what the date is. So that's where we're going to sell it and make money off it. I went, oh, really?
Wow.
Well, I don't know what I'm talking about. That's for sure. But do what God says. And, you know, so then it became about money instead of about – so it changed, and I saw the anointing lift up of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting
so
because –
that's when I yeah.
– Go ahead.
That's when I learned about that the hard way. Not that I was wanting money, but it wasn't about me wanting money, but it all became about money instead of the kingdom of God. And so I'm giving these people this information. Anyway, I don't want to go into that part of it, but anyway, it was a hard lesson for me.
But that was amazing. And I guess too, it's like if they're coming for that, then
yeah.
But
well, they start out right.
Mm-hmm.
They start out right, and then the money gets a hold of them. That's why I know money, when it comes to the money thing, we have to really have our heart strong with God because money is about the only thing that can pull everybody away.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that it will, but it is a thing that can.
Yes, it can.
One thing that can.
Well, they say that we are, you know, the people that come into big sums of money, people that win the lottery or people that, you know, get sudden wealth, you know, that it just makes who you are, you know, sort of bigger.
Multiplies it. It increases all your issues.
Yeah.
You used to have a little problem with greed. Now you're really greedy or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, it does. It blesses you where you become multiplied in all your issues. So that's why Job had to go through his thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All right. I think we pretty well hit this thing from one end to the other. I haven't talked to you. I don't think I've talked to you in a while on the show, so I thought that might be your number. I wasn't sure. I don't keep up with the numbers. Some people I know never because I've talked to them, you know, at least once a week, and so I know their numbers pretty well. But I think that's her 831 number. So. Yeah, she had a mouthful of grapes. I thought this is a good time to get her on.
Great.
We got you. That's what we did. We got you.
Yeah.
We in the Lord got you.
Seriously, I mean. And you're on.
Hello, hello. Wait, hello.
Oh my gosh!
It didn't sound like that. I'm just kidding.
Down on the kitchen counter, right? And I'm just literally stuffing these things in my mouth, and all of a sudden I hear 831.
Yeah, God is watching you, Noel. He's watching you.
Yeah, boy, better be.
Get her now, Randy. Get her now. Okay. Whatever you say, Lord. I don't know why. I'm innocent. I'm innocent. He knows. I'm the innocent one. I'm just like saying, hello, are you there? God goes, yeah, she got a mouthful of grapes. You're going to love it.
I got to tell you, last week you prayed for me, and I thank you. I thank you for all your prayers. And you said something about, you said, and it was your time, the timing, it was, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday. The timing, I mean, when you said that you prayed for me earlier in the day, I was praying and seeking God for wisdom. And, I mean, there's so much going on, and I need God's help so much. And, you know, stuff we've already talked about, you know what's going on. And some other things.
Sure.
And some other things, right? And, I mean, I just found myself, like, God, you know, I need your wisdom. I need to bring me up some levels in wisdom, and you need to help me to, you know, I mean, I probably couldn't even explain it right, but you said, you prayed for me, and that God said that I'm quite a character, and that I was seeking wisdom, right, and seeking, asking him for more wisdom, and I was actually praying about my character, as my heart, my character, and wisdom, and so when you use those words, I was like, oh my gosh, that's and it was that like day it happened where I was doing something.
Wow.
God, is this? You know, I'm doing this, and I think it's right. I don't know that it's right, and I really need to know from you. Like, you need to help me.
Yeah. That's amazing. Well, you know, just like the grape thing, I'm innocent. I had nothing to do with any of that. Okay? So blame it on the Lord. Or give him the credit. We're giving him the credit. I know we give him the credit. I'm just playing with you. Yeah, it's sweet. It really is sweet how the Lord does that. I call it sweet because he's sweet Jesus. I always call him sweet Jesus. Because he just sweetens up your life, your day, with giving you a word or helping you know I love you, whatever it is. The Lord saying to us, and it's just sweet Jesus all the way. And I used to feel guilty about calling him sweet Jesus because I thought it sounds kind of feminine, you know. And so one night I was listening to some videos, and I got A. A. Allen on. I thought there's some A. A. Allen stuff. I started listening to A. A. Allen. A. Allen was a great man of God, and he would keep saying, "Call Jesus sweet Jesus." I've never heard a minister that I can remember called Jesus sweet Jesus before. When I heard him say that, I said, there you go. There you go. I can do it. It's okay.
It is okay, and that sweet side. In fact, one thing you said was about that me seeking out God's precious word and preciousness. You know, like really looking for that and wanting that. Well, a couple of nights prior to that, I mean, last week is sort of a turnaround. I mean, there's nothing in the natural that, you know, but in my circumstances.
Right.
With the theft. And it was, Randy, for months, I get up crying. I mean, it's been devastating, right?
Yeah.
And I just felt like, I just felt like my mom or somebody had come and hugged me and said it was okay, you know, and I thought it can't be my mom, but it kind of seemed like my mom, but it was love, but it was going to be okay. And, you know,
wow.
The next, it was almost like God was showing me in his Bible how important inheritances and family blessings and how much they were honored and how things were right. You know, if the older son was supposed to get it, the older son was supposed to get it. You know, if this was this one, it went to this one, you know. And over and over and over. It's almost like God was showing me, you can count on me in this. You're needing help with what's right, you know. And so, things started, you know, my faith started building. My faith started, I thought, okay, God, you got to have this because I don't know what to do here, right? My faith started building to where that night my sister sent me a letter, an email, and it was about 10 o'clock at night. Normally I would be like, oh, right, you can read, like, what now? And I looked at my phone, I saw the email, I put my phone down, I took my blankets, curled up, and I said, God, I know you got me tonight, and I'm just going to rest in you. And it was just so precious, you know.
Wow.
And just, I mean, that was just to know. I mean, it sounds trivial, but as I was in such despair, just to have the comfort to know that, and really be comforted. It wasn't like, oh, I'm going to do this and I hope it works. It's like, I know I can do this. I know I can rest tonight, you know. I know you've got this. You've got me. And that was.
Yeah.
Amazing and precious.
Isn't that amazing? That's our amazing. Sweet Jesus, man. I believe it because Jesus is, when I see the prophetic, and I've seen over the years do many different things to help people in their everyday stuff, their big stuff, their little stuff, it's just been amazing how he loves to talk to his people. He's just looking for people he can talk to. So I can communicate to my people and love them and let them know what I really feel about them, not what they think I think, but what I really think about them, how I really love them. And, girl, that turned my whole life around where I got so addicted to him, letting him speak through me, you know, that I just said, God, you know, there's nothing greater than this. I don't need a bunch of people. Just give me one. Give me one person that you can speak to and I can feel your love flowing for them and speak your words to them. That makes me happy. And I don't have to have a lot of people. I don't have to have, I can have one, I can have 10, I can have 1,000. It doesn't matter to me. And you become content with it. Not that you don't want big crowds and, you know, big studios and big, you know, all this stuff. Not that you don't want that stuff, but it's just like when you get addicted to him and the way he does what he does through you, you know, when nothing else works, this is good enough. You know, it's like, it's just beautiful to hear you say that about him.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And you know, when you said that, you know, and that, you know, on that day, Wednesday or Thursday, it was a confirmation. And you know how, you know, you set fires in people, you know, you set fires. It was a confirmation. And I have been dealing with some things, you know, needing to make some decisions. And I have really been asking for God's wisdom and expecting it. And I feel like I'm more on point, you know. I feel like he's growing it, you know. And that instead of feeling like, oh my gosh, well, I don't know anything about this, it's like, okay, well, let's do, you know, let's look closer here, and well, here's something. This, you know, this little part over here is good, right? You know, and so I got that, you know, and you know, but you know, I think when you talk about like the one person in the crowd, I think it's the process. And if you don't love the process with one person, you know, but if you have it with one and you have it, then you can have it with two and, you know, 10,000, you know, because it'll be the same test and get it. So
it's the same. Yeah. Because it's the Lord doing it. He's flowing through you. He's feeding you. You get fed by it.
Right.
I don't care if I get fed with eating dinner with 1,000 people or one person. It makes no difference to me. Just feed me some of that sweet lamb, Jesus. That's what I need.
Yeah.
And so that's what he does, and it becomes about him feeding you. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of the Father. And when you really realize that, it's not some hyper thing of, you know, hyper spiritual thing. It really is true. It becomes, you know, I mean, I can minister to one person. If God's flowing through me, I'm getting fed. I'm being fed. I'm happy. Do I want more? Do I want, you know, things to happen and get you know, this amazing studio and all this? Yeah. Yeah, and that's where we're going. But, you know, what keeps me happy in between time, like I'm sitting here in a room, you know, where there's not much going on. The internet's bad. I can barely get video to work, you know. But it's like I don't feel like I'm supposed to go spend money and do things to try to make it any better. Just keep it like this until we get that new thing going on. It's all fine. It's all like humble yourself, lower yourself. It's okay. I'm going to bless you. So just relax and let me work. And so I try my hardest to do that. And most of the time I do pretty good with it. But
Yeah.
Anyway, it's pretty cool. All right. You know what? I think I'm going to call it a night tonight. I still have a couple of people on the show. After I had a little mess up tonight, we lost several people. Just bless your heart, gave up.
Well, if there's...
Some people have their phones still plugged in because they've fallen asleep or they're, you know, gone to get something to eat or something, which is just one of the things that have the PGN. And I thought, well, you know, we'll just try, you know, we'll just see if anybody's got grapes in their mouth tonight. We'll just check, you know, somebody. But sure enough, there it was.
Yeah, you know, I'd love to do this. I'm going to push that number.
Yeah, it's a sign. It's a sign of the message of the wrath of God, not on his people, but on the enemy, how he wants to destroy the enemy. I thought, Noel would be a good choice for that. Yes, Jesus. I wish that's the way it really was, Noel, but it wasn't. I just happened to click your number when you put the grapes in your mouth, and all the rest of it just followed.
That's right. Mouth full of grapes, time to say hello.
Hello? No, is Noel there? I know this isn't Noel, because Noel doesn't talk like that. You sound beautiful, but hey, this is not Noel. Give me Noel. Where's Noel? Where'd you hide Noel at?
Oh my gosh.
Give me Noel or I'm going to come and get you. God's not going to be happy with you, whoever you are.
No,
get off the phone. Give me Noel.
Right? I know. I mean, that was funny. Well, I'm glad you did because I've had a blast talking with you. But, you know, wasn't expecting that, but, you know, I didn't choke, right, you know, and eventually was able to speak, you know, clear words, and that's a good thing. And but anyway, I appreciate you, and I appreciate all you do, Randy. I really do.
Thank you. Well, I enjoy it more than you appreciate it, which is a lot of appreciation and a lot of joy. I really do enjoy it. So it all mixed together, makes for a good thing. So awesome. We've never done this before. I never talked to you this long, I don't think, and had this much fun. I guess
know.
God just had this ordained without me knowing it.
That's right.
It was cool.
Very, very cool.
I
enjoyed it.
And the wrath is what got it all going. Hallelujah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, not
all right,
that
Noella.
I said, not back towards me, please.
Oh, yeah, no, of course. What's the wrath on your enemies? Not people, but, you know, to do. Wrath is one of the greatest warfares God has.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why all that happened like that then.
I tell you, I mean, I've seen some really wild and crazy things going on PGN, and Yeah. Hallelujah. Let's loosen the will of God and the love of God and the wrath of God all this thing, because his love is wrapped up in his wrath, because he pours out his wrath because he wants to do away with what's stopping the love from flowing. And when people get in the way, when things get in the way, when the enemy gets in the way, and God's, you know, giving plenty of warnings and giving people, because he's a just God, he's never going to pour his wrath out on somebody or something that's not been warned many, many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
So that's his reputation. That's what he does then. He does it still today. So there you go.
Well, you know, I think, you know, one thing going real quick, you know, going through like sort of this devastation last few minutes, forgiving and praying for those that hurt you, right? Because, I mean, we're supposed to, and it's, you know, healing, whatever, even though, you know, I mean, I've had to do it over and over and over, you know, because I'd get upset or angry. But I realized,
yeah,
too, that God is going to be, you know, he says that, you know, vengeance is his, right? And he also wants us,
right,
to pray for his enemies. So, I mean, if we're doing what we're supposed to do there and we mean it, I mean, God can do a lot of things for our enemies besides hurt them. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he can save them. But he can,
yeah,
take a stance and, you know, and take care of them too, in it, you know? So, and maybe his wrath is just, like you said, time to move, you know?
Yeah, time to move. He gives everybody plenty of time. He's a just God. That's when you understand wrath and how wrath works, you understand complete justice and complete love. When you understand that, you understand the purpose of wrath. It's not just something God got mad one day, got it in a bad mood, and, you know, eat a bad pizza or something, and he's, you know, ready to quack somebody. It has absolutely nothing to do with that at all. So if people understand that, when you talk about wrath, they're going like, well, I guess God's giving people all the time in the world and all the warnings and, well, Nebuchadnezzar, I guess, come and get them because they're not going to listen to anybody. So Nebuchadnezzar,
yeah,
comes and puts them in bondage for a while until they learn. Then he gives them 70-something years and it's okay, let's go back and build the temple. And, you know, I mean, that's just kind of the way it happens. God has to break us. If we don't get broken willingly, he breaks us, you know, on purpose because he loves us. So anyway, all right, I'm going to call it a night tonight, everybody. I only have a couple of callers on still there. We're going to call it a night tonight. I'm going to call it a night. Good hearing from everybody. Noelle, enjoyed it.
Hey, I enjoyed it, too. It was great talking to you, Randy. Thank you so much.
All right, bye-bye. All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Awesome. Really, really awesome. Okay. All right. Good night, everybody. We love you. Thank you for being with us. Hallelujah. Sorry for the audio mess up. I think it was my fault on that one. All right. Good night, everybody.